Just as a reminder that celebrating Christmas is not halal, putting up a Christmas tree is not halal, wishing people a happy Christmas or a merry Christmas is not halal. So as a Muslim, you should be confident in your religion. Be proud that you are Muslim. Don't try to be someone that you are not.
Islamist extremist threats continue to threaten Christmas and New Year's celebrations worldwide. In Germany, security forces arrested 5 men, including a suspected imam, for planning a vehicle ramming attack on a Christmas market in Bavaria.
And this comes after heightened security measures were put in place following car ramming attack at a Christmas market in the city of Magdeburg last year, which killed 6 people and injured more than 300. And authorities say he called for the attack to be carried out with the aim of killing or injuring as many people as possible at the market.
In Poland, a 19-year-old student was detained for allegedly preparing an Islamic State-inspired bombing at a Christmas market, while Turkish police conducted raids detaining over 115 suspected ISIS members accused of plotting attacks on churches, synagogues, and New Year's gatherings during the festive period.
Authorities have taken dramatic action ahead of the holiday season. More than 100 suspected members of the Islamic State group have been arrested in a massive counter-terrorism sweep. Remember, Turkey shares a long border with Syria, nearly 900 kilometers, where jihadist groups remain active. That proximity has made the region a key concern for the Turkish security forces. And this operation comes shortly after a deadly attack in Syria on December 13, where a lone ISIS gunman, remember, killed 2 US soldiers and an American civilian.
Hugh, this is 70 strikes inside Syria, ISIS targets. That's significant. Having covered the Pentagon for a long time, that's not minuscule. And this is in response to the killing of those 3 soldiers that you saw the president meet at Dover Air Force Base.
This is a much needed and much welcome message to every enemy of America in the world that if you harm, and the president put in caps in his Truth Social, if you harm or threaten any American, especially our servicemen, he will hit you harder than you have ever been hit before. And so those people in ISIS, or whether or not they're in ISIS, I'm not sure, who are getting hammered tonight. A-10s mean they're close. They're in close and they're pounding the ground. This is the best thing President Trump could do to protect American troops and civilians abroad. I applaud him completely.
Back in Turkey, was orchestrating suicide attacks targeting civilians in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Turkey, and Europe.
The Islamic State also issued explicit threats urging supporters to turn the holiday into a season of terror.
Islamic State put out, a sort of press release. It was described as a newsletter, whatever that means, calling for the Christmas period to become a season of terror, attacking Christians and Jews. And they mocked the fact that we've taken security measures at our Christmas markets, like those hostile vehicle mitigation bollards that we saw recently at Birmingham Christmas Market. And we've seen all sorts of Christmas markets being patrolled by armed police. This is a quote. They said, to engage crowds of Christians and Jews in the heart of Europe, America, and the Jewish state, running them over with buses, beating them, and smashing them with heavy hammers. So we've seen across Europe, we've seen in Germany, in Belgium, in France, nativity scenes have been destroyed, baby Jesus statues have been decapitated and stolen, a donkey was actually punched in the face.
But it wasn't just limited to Islamic hatred. Hindu nationalist groups intensified attacks amid the Christmas season also. Reports documented over 700 incidents of violence against Christians throughout the year, including assaults on carolers, vandalism of church decorations, disruptions of prayer meetings, and mob harassment, with organizations like the Vishwa Hindu Parishad urging Hindus to boycott the festival. While New Year's has become a display of global cowardice.
In Times Square at this time, we are continually operating in a heightened threat, and please be conscious of your surroundings.
Federal agents have arrested a Texas man for allegedly trying to help ISIS. The newly uncovered plot comes as DHS issues a warning urging people to remain vigilant during their New Year's Eve celebrations.
Federal charges have been filed against this ISIS sympathizer here in Texas, so he's charged with trying to get bomb-making materials to an undercover FBI agent.
traditions, pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWar.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. As you can hear, my voice is a little bit worse for the wear. It's very cold here. It got very cold in Texas over the last few days, and my voice is having none of it. I'm also talking all day, every day, and that doesn't help. But we'll be here. It's the final day of 2025, and I'll be here tonight as we broadcast to ring in the new year, 2026. My voice is really bad. I've tried not to talk much today to try to save it. Now that I am talking, like, oh, it's worse than this morning. Okay. All right. Well, we'll make it through. We got plenty of videos to go to. We'll take your calls as well. Not sick. It's just my voice is gone. It's very annoying. It's very annoying since I host a radio show to lose my voice. We got a lot to talk about today, and we'll get to as much of it as humanly possible. Everybody's getting pissed. Everybody is completely sick of the way things are going. And the question is being asked now, what's next? Because everybody sort of understands that Donald Trump, sort of our last gasp, sort of the last opportunity to save the country. And here we are a year into the second administration, and it's gone completely off the rails, and we're getting absolutely nothing we voted for. And it's becoming very clear, really undeniably clear, that the way the system has evolved over the last 250 years has made it impossible to correct things through the appropriate channel. So a lot of people are asking, what's next? What other options do we have? Because they are proving to us that voting doesn't matter. It doesn't help. I saw Carrie Lake post something about how, you know, if we don't fix the voting system, then nothing else matters because we can't win elections. We can never change things. And of course, in response to that, I believe it was Clint from Liberty Lock Pod, Clint Russell, saying, yeah, this doesn't really ring true because we did win. We did beat the fraud. We did get not just the presidency, but the House and the Senate, and we've gotten nothing. So I don't know if voting is really the answer. I don't know if a lack of, you know, security in the voting system is actually going to solve anything, because even when we vote for you, even when you get into office, even when you have all the power, you refuse to use it. And that's the other thing people are understanding, is that to some degree, there's a systematic resistance that is really, without taking extraordinary measures, impossible to get through the judicial hangups, the judicial obstruction. And of course, you can just fire all the judges. You can do a judiciary act like Thomas Jefferson did, but that's the extraordinary measures. And that is certainly a major barrier to getting anything done. But the much bigger barrier is just an unwillingness to try, an unwillingness to do anything, a choice being made to allow the destruction to go on. It would be one thing if Trump was trying to do all of this stuff full bore, 100%, and was getting defeated. We could say, well, he's given his best shot. We just need more people. We need more help. We need more, you know, we need more votes. We need another election to get more good people involved. But at this point, he's not even trying. Nobody's even trying. So it's not a matter of the system can't do these things. It's a matter of the system is choosing not to. And again, this does relate to Israel and the control that we have, or the control that they have over us, because again, we can see examples of the American government going above and beyond and doing things that otherwise would be impossible, but they do it with alacrity, with ease, with no resistance. They can bankrupt Harvard. They can bankrupt Columbia. They can shut out entire classes of people from immigration. They can deport people even who have never committed a crime just for the way that they talk or the things that they say. When it's for Israel, but when it's for us, nothing, nothing. You can bring in 10 million people. Nobody can stop you. But if you try to expel one person, there's 10,000 barriers in the way. So it's just all of this is coming to a point where we've sort of been for a while, but normies now are recognizing like this is unsustainable and we have to do something about this. And we can't just wait, because as it stands now, the trajectory that we're on, the path that we're following, the end of it is South Africa. The end of it is total dispossession and not a collapse that ends in a Mad Max Thunderdome situation where the strongest survive. I know a lot of folks out there are looking forward to that, you know, potentiality. That's not going to be the case. The people in charge are managing the decline. They're tapping the brakes just enough so that we can slowly degrade, that our cohesiveness, our unity is fraying and slowly, coming apart. And all of the weight of the fraud is just slowing us down that much. And it's just this progressive drip feed of collapse until you get to the point where your system is absolutely, totally corrupt. It's a total failure. Everything is fraud. Everything is scams. And at that point, you're so like scattered and retarded, you can't fight back anyway. Because that's the other aspect to this, is the multi-front attack of the info war is not just the physical attack of planting hostile foreign enclaves inside your own cities so they can all vote for, you know, their representative and claim a congressional district for their own. It's not just about the demoralization and the endless propaganda convincing Americans that their history and their heritage is evil and you're a moral person for committing civilizational suicide. So you've got the sort of just political attacks, you've got the mental attacks, but facilitating all of it is the chemical attack, is the attack on testosterone, is the attack on your literal biological ability to fight back, your biological ability to think freely, your biological ability to say the truth and stand on principle even when it's unpopular. There is a chemical element to that, that if you can decrease testosterone, you massively decrease the likelihood that somebody will stand up against injustices. And so all of this is combining, and it means as everything gets worse, it's like a snowball going down the hill. Faster it goes, the bigger it gets, the faster it goes. The more our testosterone is denuded, the more feminized our culture becomes, the more abuse and exploitation abounds, the more restrictions are placed on law-abiding people to try to fix a problem that doesn't exist. And it's just a feedback loop that ends in our total destruction, not in a fantastic last battle, hail of bullets, massive conflagration, but in a whimper with a slow melting of our once substantial glory to nothingness. And that's what everybody is seeing. And we understand, okay, there is no, well, just wait. There is no just like, well, things will get better. This too shall pass. We just have to endure this and things will be right once again. That's not the way it is. No, the fundamentals have been destroyed. The underlying structure of our country is being hollowed out. And the only thing to do now is to stand up and deliberately intervene, to deliberately interdict, to deliberately deflect the path that we're on, to alter our trajectory consciously and with will, rather than waiting for somebody else to come along and do it for us. So that's sort of the issue that we're grappling with right now. That is the struggle that we have to try to come to terms with and understand not just that action is needed, but figuring out what action is needed. what the ultimate goal is, what the ultimate success will be. What does mission accomplished look like? Until you establish that, it's hard to, you know, take the first step out the door. Because you don't just want action for the sake of action. You don't just want, you know, flare-ups of rebellious activity, because that's how rebellious activity gets snuffed out. If it's just little pockets here or there, that's perfect, right? What you need is a mass uprising. What you need is everybody everywhere. Or the other option, you need one place. You need one smaller location that you can claim for your own. Texas secession might be a good idea. Smaller secession, attempts can also be made. Maybe that's when he's at. Maybe Elon Musk needs to take a city he's building and go, you know what? We're not going to accept federal money, and we're not going to accept federal instruction, and we're not going to use the American dollar. I don't know. Maybe he can have his own. Maybe, he can found a town, and everybody in the town can agree to bring a supply of gold, and you simply, you know, trade everything in gold, some way that's not illegal, but also isn't giving any sort of control over to the United States government. I don't know what the answer is exactly, but I would say that right now, as I look at the tactical risk board of American politics, I see that our forces are too dispersed and thin to have any sort of substantial or potentially successful, you know, movement that's not organized from a singular point. And so again, whether it's a national, tax protest where people just don't pay taxes, and you get millions of people across the entire country to do it to the extent that they can't punish everybody and have to actually come to terms with that, that would be one option, a massive nationwide unified operation of all of us doing something together. Or finding a physical location, having one group of people basically stake their claim and, you know, set up as the heart of the resistance, and everybody can join them there, and you can start small and then grow from there. But right now it just feels like we're too scattered and disorganized to mount any effective resistance, and that's unfortunate. And again, all of this is on the backdrop of the fact that we did win the election. We do have the power, and if the people that claim to represent us and have been elected by us to serve our interests actually wanted to do that, we wouldn't have to do anything. We should not have to do anything. It's unfair, frankly, that we have to pick up this mantle, but that is the way that it is. Okay, so we got to, again, come to terms with that, and I'll play some videos that illustrate that. But we should probably begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Wednesday, the 31st of December, 2025. Charges against dozens of cop city protesters have been tossed in Atlanta, Georgia. A Georgia judge on Tuesday tossed racketeering charges against dozens of defendants accused of a years-long conspiracy to halt the construction of a police and firefighter training facility that critics call Cop City. Fulton County Judge Kevin Farmer said the order that Republican Attorney General Chris Carr didn't have the authority to secure the 2023 indictments under Georgia's racketeer-influenced and corrupt organization law, the Atlantic Journal-Constitution reported. Farmer said he needed permission from Governor Brian Kemp. Carr's office said in a statement that they plan to appeal. Now, if you don't remember, Cop City was the Antifa siege where they attacked cops with, like, bombs. It was domestic terrorism and first-degree arson charges related to a night in 2023 when masked activists burned a police car in downtown Atlanta and threw rocks at a skyscraper home of the Atlanta Police Foundation. Farmer said Carr also didn't have the authority to pursue the arson charge, but that the domestic terrorism charges can likely stand. But this is just yet another example of, like, a cut-and-dry case of Antifa goons committing domestic terrorism, literal violence against the law enforcement officers of the United States of America. In these videos, you see a literal siege, a literal war zone being created by this conspiracy of masked communist agitators, literally throwing fireworks and bombs and attacking police officers. This group, Antifa, that carried this out, has, of course, been declared domestic terrorist by the Trump administration. And yet, this footage that we're seeing, this evidence of this attack, of this coordinated violent assault on police officers, is basically being thrown out. We're not even getting this conviction for this. Hundreds of people conspiring to assault people. Literally more violence and damage than the entirety of January 6th. And done in a way that was coordinated, conspired, you know, they conspired, dead set. But some judge decides that, well, you didn't cross the T's and dot the I's in exactly the way that I want. So I guess all these people will just go free. Again, it's like, okay, why do we have police? Why do we have judges? Why do we have courts? So they can assault us, so they can tax and fine and give us tickets. But the radicals that are literally staging an insurrection go completely free. Okay, so what's next? So what's the real solution? Because, you know, we don't need the government. It's not government can do something we can't do. And if this was anarchy rather than tyrannical anarchy, anarcho-tyranny, then the good old boys in Georgia would just take it upon themselves. It'd be a fun afternoon. It'd be a fun weekend hunting down and killing Antifa with ease. That wouldn't be an issue. We don't want to do that. We actually establish civilization itself to serve as a proxy for that violence. But that's not what's happening anymore. So it's like these systems that we set up to prevent the need or necessity of like vigilante justice to bring order to the chaos of human society. If it's breaking down, if it doesn't exist anymore, it's actually counterproductive to its intent. We don't have to just live in an unjust, violent world as victims. We don't have to. We set up these systems to protect us. If they don't protect us, we don't need the systems anymore, and we can protect ourselves. We don't need the system. It's preferable, but not necessary. So what's next? Meanwhile, FBI probes Minnesota fraud. After evidence suggests arrest just tip of a very large iceberg, the FBI said Sunday that the agency is probing for additional fraud schemes in Minnesota after a series of criminal convictions, charges, and media reports unveiled widespread abuse of federal and state welfare programs. FBI Director Cash Patel said investigative teams are targeting fraudsters who are exploiting federal aid programs meant for those in need. He referenced the FBI's role in arresting those involved with Feeding Our Future Fraud Ring, a nonprofit that bilked at least $250 million from the federal government by claiming to serve meals to underprivileged children. Now, again, the Somali fraud is getting a lot of attention for good reason right now. It is the tip of the iceberg. It's the tip of the tip of the iceberg. It's the tip of one iceberg, the Somali fraud iceberg, that is in and of itself one of these smaller icebergs in an ice field, as far as the eye can see. Because that has been the entire purpose of our government for the last several decades. Slowly but surely, our government has been morphed into a machine whose entire purpose is to benefit criminals and rob decent people, to pay for the lazy and unwilling, and to rob those that actually work. I mean, that is the purpose of this government at this point. That's why a lot of people are asking. Theo Von, famous comedian, yesterday tweeted out a simple question: why do we pay taxes? And it had, last time I checked, like 200,000 likes. Yeah, people are wondering, why do we pay taxes? The answer, of course, is to feed the people who hate you, to pay for your own deconstruction and destruction. So that's why. Meanwhile, destruction of serious concerns, say UK, Canada, France, and others. The humanitarian situation in Gaza has worsened again and is of serious concern, Britain, Canada, France, and others said in a joint statement on Tuesday that also called on Israel to take urgent action. I'm sure they'll get right on that. The statement published online by the Foreign Office of Britain said Israel should allow non-governmental organizations to work in Israel in a sustained and predictable way and ensure the UN could continue its work in the Palestinian enclave. In response, Israel blew up their van with a missile. So that's unfortunate. Meanwhile, Zoran Mamdani, the city's first Muslim mayor, is to be sworn in on a Quran. Zoran Mamdani will be sworn in as mayor on a Quran, the first in New York City history. The Quran will be displayed at the New York Public Library after the ceremony. Mamdani will take his oath of office on a centuries-old Quran, marking the first time a mayor of New York City has used Islam's holy text to be sworn in and underscoring a series of historic firsts for the city. When the 34-year-old Democrat becomes mayor shortly after midnight in a long-closed subway station beneath City Hall. I thought I was reading a report from NBC New York. I didn't realize I was reading the text of a Batman comic. When the mayor is sworn in after midnight in a long-closed subway station beneath City Hall, he will then defeat the Batman? Like, what are we talking about? Why is that happening? That's weirder to me than the Quran thing. Why is he being sworn in at midnight in a closed subway station beneath City Hall? What? Will he be drinking anyone's blood? Well, what else are we be doing in the closed subway station under City Hall? Is Spider-Man going to be fighting a lizard in there? That's what I've been lead to understand happens in places like that. Okay, cool. Cool. Is that where they normally do it? Have I not been following New York politics as closely as I should? Are they usually sworn in the defunct subway station beneath the city? Is that normal? Finally, Housing and Urban Development Report links immigration surge to rising house prices for Americans. What? I can't believe it. Folks, this is breaking news. It appears as though somebody at the Office of Housing and Urban Development can, in fact, determine cause and effect. They can, in fact, understand at an elementary level supply and its corresponding friend demand. Incredible stuff. Thank you for this study, Housing and Urban Development Secretary Scott Turner. It turns out that bringing in tens of millions of foreigners into an already overstressed real estate market causes that real estate market to become more expensive. This is mind-blowing stuff here. Every 2 years, HUD releases its worst-case housing needs report, considered the agency's flagship assessment of the state and housing market for low-income Americans and how many lack affordable and adequate housing. The report serves as a nationwide barometer of housing stress and shows whether the availability of affordable housing is improving or worsening and who may be hurt by the current conditions. And basically they say that this, quote, the unchecked illegal immigration and open border policies allowed by the Biden administration continue to put significant strain on housing, pricing out American families, Turner said. So, you know, it's like their mere presence here already is driving up house prices. But then you have to add on to the fact that they are all living in homes paid for by your tax dollars, and you get a little bit closer to the real level of scam that is truly sucking us dry, truly leaving us as a desiccated husk of the state we once were. We'll be back on the other side to cover more, and I'll show you some videos of a lot of people who feel about this a lot stronger than I do even. Stay tuned. Remember to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. It's your last chance to do it before the new year, thealexjonesstore.com.
I want to talk to you all right now about something beyond important. And it's about a choice that you have to make. And that's not hype. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has been under unprecedented attack for really 15 years, intensifying when Obama, 2013, secretly listed us as a terrorist organization for destruction by the CIA and FBI that was declassified earlier in the year by the Trump administration. I'm all over the crossfire hurricane. I'm all over the Arctic frost as one of the main people to be taken out by the deep state itself. And the reason for that is we have the information. I have the background. I have the research. I have the guest. I have the crew. We have the giant audience. They tune in and they cannot stand what they hear being discussed on this broadcast. So when you spread the word about this broadcast, when you pray for this broadcast, when you share the articles and videos and reports or take them and make clips yourself and share them, this belongs to you as much as it belongs to me. When you do that, you are the amplification system. Again, you're not part of the fight. You are the fight. And when you support this operation financially, you allow us to stand up against the Paul Weiss law firm, the top Democrat law firm in the country, and we are having major victories against them. We've held them off, shutting us down, as you've seen, intensely the last few years, and it is just a knockdown, drag-out operation. But regardless, the Alex Jones store, thealexjonesstore.com, is not owned by me, it's owned by Bigley. It's funding InfoWars and the fight and the crew and the operation and the bandwidth and everything. And it's funding the Alex Jones Network backup that's been built. So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free on almost every supplement we've got. A few of them we can't because of methylene red, a small shipment came in. It's going to sell out probably today. So, and this is the key. You don't just buy one of one type and get the same one free. That's the usual deal. You can buy any supplement and buy any other supplements. You can buy a $20 supplement and buy a $45 one free. You understand? So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultra Methylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Cardiovascular Detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate power drink mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate power drink mix, two great flavors now available at DeltaStore.com. High quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. Atomic Defense. Incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn. Safe, healthy, metabolic, great turn up to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra. Great for your brain. The Tallow Balm. We never talk about enough. Optimal Human. The ultimate green drink. You heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at the AlexJonesStore.com, and it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. Obviously, Somali fraud is the story of the year at this point. And for very good reason, billions upon billions of dollars stolen in a systematic way. And, you know, I've reported on this the same way forever because it's just the best example with Ilhan Omar and the Somali enclave. It's deliberate. It's always been deliberate. It's always been obvious. When you take tens of thousands of people from a place like Somalia and drop them all in one neighborhood, it becomes their neighborhood. They vote for a person who represents them. You have now gifted the Somali community a congressional seat that they will hold forever as long as they're still there. And then on top of that, you get the fraud and all that. My motto the entire time I've been doing a show on InfoWars just arises naturally. It's not that complicated. It's not that complicated. People want conspiracies to always be this highly, you know, intricate web of influence and blackmail and bribes. And it's not always that complicated. It's actually pretty damn simple. Bring in Somalis. They vote for you. You give them money. They vote for you. You give them money. They give some of that money back to you. They vote for you. Somalia ranks last in every metric. crew just put up the, you know, infographic about their IQ, one of the lowest in the world. They rank last on absolutely everything. And has a lot of people asking, could they even pull this off on their own? They had to have had inside help. And yeah, of course they had to have had inside help. This is anarcho-tyranny, after all. Do you think if you tried to scam the United States government, they would let you do it? Think they'd let you get away with this? Here's another question. Do you think if the money was being sent to Hamas rather than Al-Shabaab or whatever it's called, do you think it would have been allowed to continue? I mean, I don't have to ask these questions. We all know the answers to them. Of course, they're in on it. Of course, they had help. But they're also the people doing it. Like, they don't get off scot-free. And like so many other operations in this country, and we've just been dealing with sort of on a regular basis at this point, is you have both, I mean, it's the classic false flag dilemma, right? The flag is false. The attack is real. Okay. The outrage right now about these Somalis, there's a lot of evidence to point to the fact that it's not naturally occurring. Maybe this story was planted a little bit. I'll tell you, I got no reason really to distrust Nick Shirley or Cam Higby. They're two very similar figures in my book. But it has always struck me as a little bit odd how successful they've become, how quickly they've become that successful. And how they both seem to support Israel a little bit too much. Now, again, I have no evidence to claim that they're controlled, but it is a vibe that I get. And I say that now because it looks like there's more evidence about this coming up. And, you know, again, it's, you know, the Somali fraud is real and we do have to concern ourselves with it. I'm not saying that this is, you know, oh, it's a distraction. We should pay attention to this other thing. No, we have to deal with the Somali fraud. And the way that you deal with it is by deporting all the Somalis back right to where they came from. It'd be so easy. Like, I don't know. There's not too much to talk about. It's just like our government's just not doing it. So, you know, there's a fire raging. I can sit here and say pour water on it. But until somebody does, I mean, you know, how much is there to talk about? They're committing fraud, arrest them, deport them, deport them all, deport the whole community. They were planted there as part of a political operation in the first place. It wasn't some, you know, natural need that the only land available happened to be in Minnesota. Like, no, this was all a plot to destroy America, and we can save America by undoing that plot, no matter how it makes some random foreigners feel. So that's the answer. That's how you solve this easily. So I'm not saying it's not a problem. It just feels like it's almost like the control of our government has been so revealed at this point that they're kind of going mask off in some ways. And we've talked about it before when it comes to Trump, and I wish it wasn't true. I honestly wish I could just, you know, but there's just this thing where whenever the Trump administration does anything good or bad, it's because of Israel. And again, it's like, I like the things Trump is doing, but you look into the wider context of it and you go, okay, it's for Israel, isn't it? All of the hubbub about South African refugees, on the face of it, it's like, okay, here are people that actually deserve asylum. Here are people that are actual refugees, are actually being hunted by their government on the basis of an immutable characteristic. And for the first time ever, the plight of white genocide is being talked about in the highest halls of power. Why would you shake a stick at that? Well, is it really about that? Because then you go and you listen to South Africans, and the South African leadership is saying the reason that they're coming after us is because they're setting the groundwork for military intervention. He says first they claim it's about refugees, and then they claim they have to intervene to save people. They're setting up a military, you know, intervention. You think, well, no, these are just saving refugees. But what if this is about international pressure? What if this is about basically threatening them, going, hey, we don't like how you're treating some people, and we are the United States of America, so you might want to get things straight. Now, is it a coincidence that at this same time, the South African government was charging Benjamin Netanyahu with war crimes and taking Israel to the ICC to charge them with genocide? Maybe. Maybe that's a coincidence. Maybe Trump, in this one instance, felt the need to champion the cause of white people when he has avoided that topic like the plague everywhere else. Maybe. Maybe. Or maybe it's on behalf of Israel. Venezuela. Maybe it's the headquarters of all of these cartels. Maybe they stole our election. Maybe it's about fentanyl. Or maybe it's because Venezuela is a main funder of Hezbollah and uses drug running operations not to America but to Europe to fund the resistance in Lebanon against Israel. Maybe. Maybe that's what it's about. Maybe the awareness now about the Somali fraud rings, long overdue and certainly valid on the face of it, maybe there's something more to this. Maybe this actually, once again, has to do with what benefits Israel. Again, I don't look for these things, but they are unavoidable. And if you're honest, you got to report them. So let's go to a few videos explaining this pretty well. Or should we go? Yeah. Since we're talking about this, we'll stick with this for now. Since I mentioned South Africa, let's go to clip 17 here. This is Ben Bozell. Now, Ben Bozell has just been sent to South Africa as the United States ambassador. So the United States ambassador to South Africa just made a speech as a representative of America in South Africa. Let's see what he talks about, shall we?
I'm honored to appear before you today as President Trump's nominee to be the next U.S. ambassador to the Republic of South Africa. If confirmed as ambassador, in addition to supporting U.S. citizens in South Africa, I will work on the following priorities. I will communicate our objections to South Africa's geostrategic drift from non-alignment toward our competitors, including Russia, China, and Iran. I'll press South Africa to end proceedings against Israel before the International Court of Justice and to pressure the International Criminal Court prosecutor to discontinue this lawfare, which is belied by Israel's support for the ceasefire in Gaza and commitment to the rules of war throughout the conflict.
How would you use your role as the U.S. ambassador to South Africa to help stand up for our ally Israel in that regard?
What South Africa did in leading the charge against Israel in the International Court of Justice was an injustice. It's going to be a top priority because the president has made it a top priority, and the president has told me it's a top priority to do something about that, to get South Africa, not just on that issue, but there are other issues. For example, just recently, South Africa engaged in naval exercises with Iran, the archenemy of Israel. If confirmed, I will be taking the president's message to them that we find it intolerable that they would work against American national interests. Our alliance with Israel is ironclad. They are one of our greatest friends in the world. The president's going to stand by Israel, and that means we have to address this with South Africa.
Indeed.
Thank you.
All right. So we send a ambassador to South Africa to represent American interests, and his primary, overwhelming, seemingly sole concern is stopping Africa from allying against Israel. We're not Israel. We're America, okay? But the American ambassador to South Africa, it's like, my top priority, Israel. Okay, so you're not really an American ambassador. America is being used as a vessel. American power is being co-opted by you for a foreign state. You're not really looking after America's interests at all. And this is the case with a lot of stuff. Okay. We'll take a look now at clip number six. This is one of the two new, hotshot new reporters on the scene, Ken Higby, along with Nick Shirley, made a very impressive come up over the last year or so. Here's him being asked about how, again, American foreign policy and all these things tying together. Again, it's not just about bashing Israel. It's about illustrating how American foreign policy, American power, is used not just domestically to benefit Israel endlessly. Again, as we've talked about over and over, the universities, the deportations, the spy apparatus, like it's all for Israel's sake. But the foreign policy is like completely hijacked. And whether it's Lindsey Graham writing a letter to the government of Ireland saying, we, the American government, are outraged. You would dare rename a park that was once named after a Jewish person. It's like, okay, you are cloaking yourself in American power. You are, you know, empowering yourself with American prestige, and you're using that power and you're using that prestige to benefit Jews, not America. Endlessly, over and over, it's like this. And it's intolerable, and it's all tied in together. Let's go now to Cam Higby being explained what the purpose of American foreign policy almost always is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for you to just write off the like immense amount of military advancement that's come out of Israel in our benefit, I think is absurd. That is like one of the single most important things. And nobody, like, let's be honest, nobody's really in conflict as much as Israel because they have all these neighbors who hate them. They're getting a little better, like Jordan, more friendly now, Egypt, of course.
Because we started giving them more money.
Oh, no. Israel's cool with Egypt because they got into a war. They got absolutely wrecked, and then Israel gave them their territory.
And who became the number two recipient of U.S. foreign aid?
Egypt.
And who was next? Okay. Jordan.
And so what?
And so
we're buying off Israel's enemies. Yeah. And so, you know, it's like already people are outraged at the billions of dollars we send to Israel, but that doesn't include the billions of dollars we send to all of the countries around Israel to pay them off not to attack Israel. It's not for us. It's not our foreign policy that's being protected by this money. It's our money. It just doesn't go to benefit us. Okay. Again, I'm not the only one saying this. Let's go to that, video I just put in of the Israeli guy. This is an Israeli reporter actually saying that Mossad provided the intel to the reporters that broke the Somali fraud story. Let's watch.
How is the Israeli Mossad related to the recent corruption that was discovered in Minnesota? You're not going to believe it, but there actually is a substantial connection, and it runs through the Israeli Prime Minister office. I'll start from the end. Israel just established relationships with Somaliland, which is not Somalia. But the backstory to the whole Minnesota corruption story is that much of those funds, and again, I think the initial number that came out is about $9 billion. Again, this is crazy. American taxpayer money of, let's say, $15 billion that they imagine were stolen or misdiverted from public funds. About $9 billion of those were sent back to support terrorism, or what they would call the Muslim Brotherhood actions, and this is tied into Qatar. And Israel, of course, was behind the scenes, and I know people love these conspiracies, in leaking some of the information that is responsible or related to the funding of terrorism using that exact money. So the fact that Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu has a phone call and recognizes Somaliland is tied into Qatar being a supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood, tied into the Somali funds that were stolen in Minnesota funding terrorism in the Middle East. That is a story that came out right now. It really blows my mind how global terrorism works, but it's such an amazing thing that it was uncovered, and I'm sure there's more news to come on this topic.
Amazing. Amazing stuff. So again, yes, Somali fraud is real. Yes, we have to concern ourselves with it. Yes, we are being screwed over in a million different ways, but it's also useful. It's also very useful for this to be in the news and a topic of concern, because it will give seeming justification to actions that the American government is likely about to make in helping to secure Somaliland as the refugee location where everybody in Gaza will be sent to. Let's go to clip number 11 here. This again is how Somaliland and Israel are intertwined.
About the Somali fraud in Minnesota, USA,
I really think people need to start seeing the bigger picture here. Do you really believe that some Somali people living there in Minneapolis could get away with defrauding the state for, say, $9, $10 billion a year? Of course not. Washington, D.C. is totally involved in this and not only allowed it to happen, but made it happen. So that's because Israel recently recognized Somaliland, part of Somalia, as a independent state. Why would Israel do so? Well, they need a place to deport the Palestinians to. But you don't just get a piece of land where you can deport 2 million people to. You have to pay for it. And that's what this is. The U.S. is the greatest ally of Israel. Remember, the United States citizens, middle-class people, taxpayers, are going to pay for that. This whole scam, the Somali care system scam, whatever, to me looks like an annual rental agreement where the U.S. taxpayer is now forced to pay $10 billion a year to the Somali elites, to Al-Shabaab, the terrorist organization, and so on, in exchange for a piece of land where Israel can then deport the Palestinians to. Your whole government is corrupt, okay? And this is just Somalia. Imagine what the USA is doing with India. Imagine how much money you're bleeding to India.
Very good stuff. JMK.info, the great Johannes. They're here. Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. So do you understand what he was explaining there? That the Democrat government drops in a bunch of Somalis. Like, this is such a win-win operation for them. You drop in a bunch of Somalis. They all go on welfare. You massively empower this bureaucratic welfare state that you're such a big fan of. You siphon billions of dollars from non-Democrat tax-paying white Minnesotans. You sort of diminish their quality of life. You make things just incrementally more difficult for them. But you're sending billions of dollars to these Somalis who then send that back to Somalia so that the terrorist organizations there can take over land that will later be used by Israel to house all of the Gazans that'll be expelled because of the war that we're also paying for. And the Democrats, of course, are like incentivized to do this many times over because not only are they getting all these votes, they're getting the money from the votes, because if you can have a Somali person make a child care, set up a daycare, and you can write a bill to funnel that daycare millions of dollars, and then that daycare can funnel $100,000 back into your coffers so you can get elected. And if you think this is just me saying this, I would invite you to listen to Larry Ellison himself, the radical, treasonous attorney general in Minnesota, literally explaining this verbatim. Clip number 7. Here is Ellison, Keith Ellison, explaining that, yeah, the Somalis are the reason he's in office. Let's watch.
The election is very important.
Yes, it is.
So can you tell us why the Somali communities are very important for the election?
Well, the Somali community is critical. In my own election, I wouldn't be in office without the help of the Somali community. Okay. Somali voters came out in very large numbers and were able to register people to vote. Very recently there, I think there was several thousand Somalis who were just naturalized as U.S. citizens. Yeah. Somalis can make a huge impact on this election. And I can tell you without a doubt, it's not just in Minnesota that Somalis are make a big difference in the election. Also in Ohio, which is a battleground state. Somalis that are in Columbus, Ohio, and in Virginia, all have a role, an opportunity to play a very big role in this election. And so I think many of us are counting on the Somali community to get involved, stay involved, but not just vote, help others vote. On my campaign, we have tremendous leaders. For example, Hibu Isak, who is a great leader, very articulate, very smart young lady, who is out gathering in Somali voters and other voters to get them to the polls. Also, we have Miriam, who's on our campaign, and others as well. So we believe that the Somali community is plays a critical role, not just in Minnesota, but in Ohio and in Virginia. And so call your relatives out there so we can get them to the polls.
Wow.
So that is the top cop in Minnesota, as the top law enforcement agent in Minnesota, explaining that the communities who have defrauded Minnesota for billions upon billions of dollars are crucial to his election. And that community is the one that got him over the top and are also to be found everywhere in his own administration. So should I say that again? Do I need to say that again? Gee, I wonder why the Somalis were able to get away with all of this crime. Gee, I wonder why, despite the unimaginable scale and scope of this fraud, I wonder why they've never been held to account. It's just pure corruption, y'all. It's really not that complicated. It's really not that sophisticated. It's really not even that hidden. It's just an operation being done to screw you, to screw your family, to destroy your country, to rob you endlessly, and to help Israel if they can. And on top of it all, so it's like the only people not benefiting from any of this are the only people supporting, like, whose efforts and lifeblood makes it all possible. It's the American taxpayers or Republican politicians. Democrats benefit. The Somalis benefit. The Somali terror gangs benefit. The Israelis benefit. The Democrat corruption machine benefits. It's just the American people that are just screwed over endlessly. We pay for all of it. None of it benefits us. Yeah, no wonder people are getting to a breaking point. I'm going to show you some videos of people at or beyond that breaking point on the other side. But I do want to remind you that tomorrow, the new year begins, and you are going to want to hit the ground running in 2026 with your best possible health to achieve all of your goals. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. We have extended our buy one, get one sale on select supplements. You still have time to get some of our best-selling supplements. Buy one, get one while supplies last. It ends tonight at midnight. It ends at the stroke of midnight. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. Place your order and get the fuel that you need to fire your engine into 2026 and achieve all of your goals. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, ultramethylene blue tincture and caps, bovine colostrum plus, CMOS capsules, life force, Shilajit capsules and gummies, ultimate turmeric, ultimate power drink mix, beef cooking tallow. You know, we don't, the Golden Fleet shirt. That's a new one. That's very cool. We don't plug the, VIP. Club as much. You should go join the Alex Jones VIP Club. You get money to spend on the store and a ton of other benefits, including access to our old archive.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, same Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Only Americans who's concerned with the Somali business
is the ones who have no life.
$5 million within the past 2 years.
$5.9 million in 2 years. $5.9 million they received in 2 years. That facility right there.
On the heels of the Somalian fraud disaster, the question arises, where did third world refugees learn to construct this staggering fraud industrial complex?
What we see in Minnesota is not a handful of bad actors committing crimes. It's a staggering industrial scale fraud.
And I said, hey, I'm just wondering, I've got a grandson who's looking for childcare, and I wonder if this might be a good facility. And they had the door open, and I looked, and there were no kids. There was like a couch and a table with a couple chairs. And I said, well, are the kids out back playing, or what kind of place is this? And the guy said, you go, you go. And he almost pushed me out the door, and then he followed me down the street to my car. And that's when I said, wait a minute, there's something going on here, and that's got to be maybe 5 years ago.
Illegal immigrants are given $7,000 per person in the form of Minnesota Care benefits here in Minnesota, paid for by Minnesota taxpayers.
All of a sudden, there was a boom, and people were buying very expensive homes and posting about those homes.
Where was all the money coming from?
Everybody knew, but nobody had the courage to speak about it because they understood the repercussions. So I decided to speak out.
Abdi went on a trip to Africa early this year. When he got there, he says he was attacked and pepper sprayed for information he put online regarding Feeding Our Future.
Turns out that the Quality Learning Center, supposed to be the Quality Learning Center, has received 13 violations and has been investigated multiple times just in the last 4 years by the Department of Human Services in Minnesota. You have people coming from the state 13 different times in the last 4 years, and they didn't notice this? Obviously, this is something that needs to be looked into to see just how much did state and city officials play a role in all of this fraud.
Likely, there were many enablers, but per usual, a main road leads to the Obama subversion network.
We got to make sure every kid has a meal. That was Michelle Obama. Ilhan Omar says, oh, we could do that in Minnesota. I'll start a whole new program. So now she's using all of the legalese from Michelle Obama. Go to Minnesota. They create this Feeding Our Future. No kid starves. And where did all the money end up? In Kenya, China, Somalia. Who's linked to Kenya? Barack Obama. Who's in China? Tim Walz.
I mean, he basically offered a shrug and a smile. Well, there's $1 billion missing on the table, and someone's going to have to answer for it.
And now that fraud has spread like a cancer across these United States.
I would say our country should be more fearful of white men across our country because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country.
Nick Shirley, I hope you see this video. Please come to Columbus, Ohio. The reporting you did in Minnesota was amazing. Thank you for that. And if you come to Columbus, Ohio, you will find the exact same fraud.
Based on what we've all seen in Minnesota, if tens of thousands of Somalis are not deported back to their third world country, and if government officials like Tim Walz and other people in Minnesota are not sent to jail or at least indicted, let me just say this. This administration, the concept of Make America Great Again, and for that matter, the rule of law, are all completely full of shit.
This once relatively healthy country has been sickened from the inside out. We must face this awful truth and eliminate the cause before it is too late.
Going this Somali fraud to continue under your watch
of the people of Minnesota.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Keep your foggy at night. They want you tired, unfocused, slow, but I crack.
something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com.
Back, folks. This is the War Room, broadcasting on the final day of 2025. We're talking about the Somali fraud, and not the Somali fraud in particular, although we do have a lot of stories about that, but what it represents as one aspect of the universal rape of America, basically. And people are reaching their breaking point. Long overdue, in my opinion. Glad this has finally come to light. But when you really think about, I mean, it's just overwhelming. It's just crazy what we've been through in the last little while. I mean, no matter what they find, no matter how many billions of dollars they find in Somali fraud, it wouldn't even reach up to a single percent of the fraud that was committed during COVID, right? I mean, the amount of fraud, truly unimaginable. Let's go to clip number two here. I'll show you a few angry Americans sick of our seeming inability to do anything about the relentless criminality and fraud from our own government. Let's watch.
Has anybody else started to reach their breaking point or a boiling point? So this is starting to look like a country that I am no longer proud to have served. I've been working my entire adult life, and I have paid half or more than half back to the government in some way, shape, or form in taxes for the past 30 years. And if you don't believe me, look up everything that you have that is taxed. State income tax, federal income tax, property taxes, payroll taxes, Medicare taxes, Medicaid taxes, sales taxes. Everything is taxed. Everything. And we have a political apparatus where half of them say that if you don't keep us in power, we will steal from you so that we can import people that will. So shut up and go back to work. And another side of the aisle that is either in on it or is totally complete chicken shit and won't do anything about it and won't even try to actually represent the people that vote for them. Is anybody else getting to a point where we feel like we cannot vote our way out of this? Where does that leave us? Because nothing is going to happen about the fraud. Nothing. All of the fraud that Elon Musk and Doge exposed, the Republican Congress put it on the back burner and refused to fucking vote on it. Turn around to the American voter that put them in power and extended one of these. It doesn't matter what we do. This situation is completely freaking unsustainable. Totally and completely unsustainable. It's a waste of time to vote, and it's a waste of energy to pay taxes so that we can give it to people that are going to steal from us. And then we can send it to other countries that hate us. And we can send it to people in the European Union that look down their nose at the American worker and say, good little bitch, go back to work. It's putting us in a helpless situation. And I don't think the people in Washington living in that bubble realize the anger that is fuming outside of the borders of that city. And I am not interested in watching another fucking theatrical congressional hearing where a couple of ballsy Republicans bitch out a fucking corrupt leftist and then nothing happens.
Yeah, it's exactly how people should be feeling. Again, it's way overdue. It's almost impossible to even comprehend of what they've stolen from you, from me, from all of us, from anybody not dependent on them, that's being robbed from them. You know, money is just a form of energy, right? It represents your life, represents your blood. It represents your fleeting time on earth, right? If you're an hourly employee, when I say they take half of your tax money, they're taking half of your life. That means you have worked for them. You have slaved away for them, not for your benefit, not for your community's benefit, not for your family's benefit, for your enemies. They've robbed you. They've robbed all of us to a degree that is unimaginable. That's why I post things like anytime China comes out with some new incredible airport and it's just like, why can't we have nice things? This is why. Can you imagine? Can you imagine America with half the number of people and 1,000 times the money? I mean, when you break down the prosperity of the American people, I mean, unimaginable that you have, like, okay, take the American population and then remove everybody that's dependent on the government, everybody that's on welfare, that's like half the people gone, right? Then anybody that works for the government doesn't make money, doesn't produce anything, it doesn't create profit, right? It's paid for by your tax dollars that are stolen from you. Everybody that works for the government, and everybody that works on contracts for the government, and everybody that works in NGOs that are funded by taxpayer dollars. It's like eventually you're left with like, what, 5% of the population is paying for everybody else. That 5% is so unbelievably productive, so unbelievably prosperous that we can pay for the other 95% of worthless leeches. It's wild. And that's not even getting in to the money that's given to overseas, the money that's given to foreign powers, the money that's given to weapons manufacturers so we can wage wars overseas for foreign powers. I mean, when you really think about the number of ways that the American people are screwed over and robbed, it's a miracle that we can do anything. And it is literally Kurt Vonnegut, Harrison Bergeron, the most powerful, productive, incredible nation the world has ever seen, but we are barely hobbling along under the unbearable weight of 6 billion people depending on us. It's like, enough, enough. Even if just like, there's so many ways to consider this, but just imagine if you just only had to work half the time. Just, you go to work 8 hours a day. What if you had to only go 4 hours a day? What if you just went to work 2.5 days a week instead of 5? Just that alone. Like, you can't imagine the life that has been stolen from you. And I'm glad people are finally, I'm glad people are getting appropriately mad about this. And people are coming up with ideas on how to deal with this. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But I want to go to another clip 3 here. This is Andy Frizzella. A bunch of his clips have gone viral yesterday, but I'll show 2 here. We'll go first to clip number 3. Here's Andy Frizzella explaining what most Americans, I think, feel these days.
Today, making my coffee. Meanwhile,
let's go to clip 3 here. Andy Frizzella, clip 3.
We're talking about the intentional demoralization of the American culture for the financial benefit and windfall of people who feel that it is their right not to serve us, but it is their right to rule over us. Okay. And like I've said a million times, you know, those people are never going to voluntarily give up that position. It's going to take pressure. It's going to take public outrage, and it's going to have to be immense. And when that happens, you know, things will change. There will be action taken. But when people get in the comments and say nothing's going to happen, well, you know, that maybe the next guy says, you're right, nothing's going to happen. And then that spreads. And when in reality, the message needs to be, no, something's going to happen or else. And that needs to be the message from the American people. It really does. And you can't be afraid of fucking standing up and saying it. It's not illegal to talk about revolution. It's actually in our fucking founding documents. The minute that people wake up to the fact that we're all in the same boat and we need to stop drilling fucking holes in it on our own and realize that we're in a battle against another boat and they want to take our fucking boat and take all of our shit in it, is when people will collectively realize that.
All right, we're going to go to another video from Andy Frazella here. This is him, again, expressing the very real frustration that all of us, I think, anybody paying attention, is feeling about Donald Trump, about the failure of the Trump administration to make anything with the unbelievable opportunity that we've given them. Let's go to, again, Andy Frazella.
We are being lied to, and not only are we being lied to, we're being exploited at the highest degree. And then on top of it, we're being replaced with the dollars that we work our asses off to produce for our families. They are taking those dollars, they are bringing in people that hate us, and then they are paying them to be here. And if that doesn't piss you the off, dude, I don't know what will. Because I'm going to tell you this, dude. I've worked my f***ing ass off for damn near 30 motherf***ing years trying to create jobs and careers and build income and wealth and done all this shit. And these motherf***ers are opening up a daycare and getting $10 million. This is insane, dude.
With no kids.
If this isn't the breaking point for everybody to stand the f*** up and say enough, then our country is f***ing doomed. Period. Okay. Donald Trump needs to feel all the smoke over this. All of it. Okay. He needs to feel all of it over Israel. He needs to understand that he is violating the promises that he has made to the American people. Okay. I've always been a guy that has given that man tons and tons and tons of benefit of the doubt. But at this point in time, that's over. And every single motherfucker that ever voted for him or stood for him or stood with him needs to let him know. He needs to let him hear it. Because, dude, I'm telling you right now, if he doesn't do something about this and he doesn't start arresting motherfuckers and he doesn't hold people accountable for the Epstein and for this shit and for all the fraud and all the raping that's been going on in the American taxpayer for decades, he will go down, and not as the best president, he will go down literally as the man who had the opportunity to save this country and chose not to.
I think the key there is that last sentence. He will go down in history as the man who had the opportunity to save this country and chose not to. And that is what's happening. It's not that he's fighting and failing. It's not that he's trying and just can't get it done. He's just not doing it. He's just choosing not to. People in power are choosing not to. They're choosing to let the judges interfere. They're choosing to let the Democrats maintain the initiative. Here we are, a year into what was supposed to be the administration of retribution, the payback, the justice for all of the injustice that America has suffered under for the last several decades, but specifically the last decade, from the Russiagate collusion hoax to COVID-19. And the brutalization of Americans at the hands of that medical tyranny, to the fraudulent election in 2020, to the unbelievable immigration attack against America. Here we are a year, and none of those have even been remotely addressed, let alone vindicated, let alone, you know, achieved vengeance for them, set them right. So, I mean, I've said it a million times, but I don't know what Trump thinks is going on. I don't know what the Republicans think is going on. They tweet constantly as if they understand the stakes. Do they really? Do they really understand the stakes? Do they really understand that they are going to spend the rest of their lives in prison if they don't do what's necessary? Do they not realize the vengeance that's coming for them? And again, the fact that the Democrats are still the ones making threats. I've got a story here of Eric Swalwell, threatening to arrest ICE agents in California if he's elected governor. Not only are they not cowed, not only are they not on the back foot, they're still the ones making tyrannical threats. They're not even in power. Donald Trump and the Republican Party, who are you fighting for? What is your future? Because if you don't do what's necessary, you're going to be remembered as the Quisling traitors that sold us out by patriotic Americans. Are going to remember you that way. And your enemies are going to celebrate and dance on your grave as they destroy your entire nation. So, like, who are you doing this for? Who are you play? Why are you playing along with them? You can either do what's necessary and have your enemies call you the names they call you anyway. You can either deport the Somalis and be called racist, or you cannot deport the Somalis, continue to be raped by the Somalis and still be called racist. What is the benefit? Who are you fighting for? Who? I mean, the only thing that could possibly explain this would be that Donald Trump has some deal with the powers that be that they just say, hey, just serve out this administration, give us what we want, and we won't do to you what we did to you last time. And I can't even believe that, because what? How big of a fool would you have to be to take that agreement? I mean, that's the only thing I can imagine explaining the lack of action, but it doesn't even sufficiently explain it, because who would buy that promise? Who would agree to that? They tried to throw you in jail for the rest of your life and you hadn't even done anything to them. Now that you've spent a year giving them all of the you know, weaponization they need, all of the excuses they need to claim that you're a tyrant. I mean, it's the last chance, and Trump has blown it. Sucks, but that's the truth, man. It really is. Let's go to clip five here. This is Dave Smith again talking about the fraud, the scam, the easily disrupted criminal elements in our country that just serve as an albatross around our neck. Here's Dave Smith.
They create this refugee crisis. Then they decide, against the will of the American people, to have this open border policy. You ship in millions of people from this third world country. Then they get, Tim Walz has a policy where they get government ID and they can sign up and they can start defrauding the government. And then if one of the Americans happens to mention that they have a problem with this, like, go, hey, this is crazy. These guys are, they get called a racist for saying something about it. This is what drives people to take up radical political positions, and not like radical in the good way, like we do, where we're like for radical decentralization or radical liberty or something like that. But this is what leads to a really ugly reaction on the right wing, because this is just too intolerable. Like, you can't do that. I mean, look, Minnesota, Minneapolis, I'm 42 years old. When I hear the word Minnesota, in my mind, I still think of like the whitest place on earth. Like, I don't know, like just like the right. Like, isn't that what it's supposed to be? Now it's a playing ground for like Somali fraudsters. Why would we possibly support that? Who would support that? Why is that better? Someone explain it to me.
Okay. I can explain it to you. They hate white people. That's the explanation. Why don't they drop all the Somalis off in New York City? They already got it. I mean, I've shown it to you before, the articles. Maine is too white. That's a problem. Here, you know, check out the heroic people, you know, trying to fix that problem. They drop off Somalis. Patel, okay, this is breaking from Catherine Herridge. FBI director says fraud probes buried under Biden. Patel has been tracking Minnesota probes for months. Patel went to Minnesota in July to oversee the investigations to confirm progress was being made. Patel said investigations were opened under the Biden administration. So yet again, add this to the list of things that the FBI has been silent on, has not moved on, has not made any public statements about, seemingly completely ignoring, completely failing in their mission. Remember, do you remember during the Biden administration, over a quarter of FBI agents total were assigned to January 6th duty to hunting down protesters, Trump supporters in their homes? A quarter of the agents. Yeah, no wonder fraud exploded. But yet again, FBI comes up last in line. Tucker Carlson releases the Butler shooter social media. They come out immediately. Oh, we have a big report about the Butler shooter, actually. We'll pay attention to this. We expose a ton of inconsistencies early on in the Charlie Kirk assassination. Well, we're investigating all of that. Don't worry. We'll be looking right into that. Steve Baker exposes or claims that a gate analysis has led him to believe that a Capitol Police agent is the DC pipe bomber. A week later, what do you know? They've arrested the bomber. It's like time and time again, independent reporters, and now it's Somali fraud, independent reporters go break a story, go expose something, go show some overwhelming criminality that it should be the simplest thing in the world to combat, only to have the FBI come up a week or a day later and go, oh, well, don't worry. We're totally on this, actually. We're super involved and we've got this wrapped up. It's such BS. And thing you really have to understand is that not only is it so easy to find this stuff that some random 23-year-old with a camera can go make a report and find hundreds of millions of dollars of fraud in a single day, and that exposes just the lack of effort, the lack of will from the FBI. But do you have any idea how many electronic surveillance systems are monitoring exchanges? You're telling me that, you know, these systems that could, you know, identify a dollar that goes in the wrong bank account couldn't identify billions upon billions of dollars being siphoned away? So when they come out and say, oh, we need all of this. Oh, you know, we need new IRS agents. That'll solve this. We need new surveillance systems. That will stop this crime. Just remember, they committed the crime. They brought the populations in to commit the crime. They covered up the crime. They facilitated the crime. They wrote the bills that provided the money that was stolen in the crime. And they're going to use all of the incredible technological surveillance systems to make sure you don't talk about it while the fraud continues unabated. We'll be back with more on the other side. Stay with us, folks.
Tomorrow is the last day to buy any of our incredible supplements at the AlexJonesStore.com, the Ultra Methylene Blue, you name it, and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $25 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. That's not the normal buy one and get one free at the same time. This is a massive deal. On some of the deals, if you get like more expensive supplement, when you buy one of the inexpensive ones, they're break even or loss leader. AlexJonesApp.com, put that on screen. You get 20% off when you use the app. It's the same shopping cart. So this is crazy, but that's why we can't have these super big sales because there's got to be some margin of profit there to operate. But we don't mind some loss leaders sometimes because the products are so good. We have an 80%+ reorder rate on the Methylene Blue, 75% reorder on average for the other products. Nobody in the supplement industry has that reorder level. These are all the best. They're either the best certified private label from a company, or we go to and get a top formula and go and make it even better. But most of our products are simply private labels of already number one, 5-star certified, the best. I mean, we don't like to reinvent the wheel around here, okay? Whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the most studied, whatever is the best, that is what you're going to get. That's what people get our supplements and say, my God, I used to take turmeric to give me some relief from pain and inflammation. Well, why is yours so much better? Because the average turmeric's food grade 4%. This is 95%. That's why Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, a small amount, by the way, is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, was the first 95% curcuminoid. And we got a 95% curcuminoid at Bigly at TheOliveStone.com. So it's real simple. Our creatine gummies is the highest quality type of creatine there is. Go look it up. You'll look at the name we have. Just ask Brock, is this the best creatine? He'll say, absolutely, hands down. Nano concentrated on top of it. I mean, it's just real simple. We treat you like we want to be treated. Plus, we want it to really work so you come back. That's our philosophy. It's real simple. I don't want to sell you something one time. I want a relationship. All I need to do is go to TheAlexShowStore.com. Wide a selection of Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. I need the funds. All this stuff's going on. You see, we're still here because we're fighting them tooth and nail, okay? And if they shut us down, we just go right over to the Alex Jones Network at TheAlexShowStore.com, also financed, which I don't own, so they can't shut that down. I don't own TheAlexShowStore.com. Bigly does. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. They do. But I need your support. And let me tell you something. Something like Ultra DNA Revival is an NAD plus booster. And it's got the precursor of NAD, because most people don't absorb NAD. Don't know what that does? Well, you need to look into it. That's just one of the ingredients. Big dose, high quality organic NAD. The precursor. Because it's the precursor you're able to absorb. Okay? This cleans out your cells. This turbocharges your body. This gives you clarity, energy, focus, makes your telomeres last longer. This goes great with the methylene blue. Also, a ridiculous name, but it actually is true. I didn't come up with a name for this. Ultimate power. we said, hey, make something even better than Turbo Force with natural clean energy without the letdown. This is even stronger than Turbo Force, which was amazing. If you like Turbo Force, get Ultimate Power.
When the robots rise, the skies turn red and the cities burn cold. Circuits hunt the weak and mercy's just a broken code. Only the strong will survive the purge. Only the men of the InfoWar stand ready, armed with truth when the machines bring war.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This is the War Room. We're going to stick on this topic of just the relentless fraud destroying us from the inside out. A lot of videos coming out about this. A lot of people asking, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? Because obviously, our elected politicians are in on it. They're not only not going to help us, they're actively participating in the fraud. We know the hot spots of this: Minnesota, Ohio, Maine. Spots identified about a decade ago by anti-white activists as being too white and therefore slated for demographic replacement. And that operation has borne the fruits that we see today. And Ohio Governor DeWine, who I believe is a Republican, has now apparently made a statement about the fraud that it's, quote, the cost of doing business. Just cost of doing business. Now, if you want to do business, I guess you got to let a bunch of foreigners rob you of tens of billions of dollars. I mean, you know, how else are you going to do business? You know, how else are you going to run a country if you're not letting a criminal cabal of hostile pirates siphon billions of dollars away? I mean, it's just how it works. It's just how business works, you know? So what do we do? What do we do about this? What do we do when the government has fully transitioned from being for the American people to being the barrier to the American people doing what's right? I mean, if you institute this government to uphold justice and the government itself becomes the biggest purveyor of injustice, what do you do? Right now, anarcho-tyranny is the name of the game. the rules of the board as it stands now, meaning that the Somalis can rob you of billions upon billions of dollars and nothing will happen to them. But if you try to go yourself and do something about it, you'll see just how capable the government is of stopping something they don't want to happen. So what do you do when the government itself is the sole barrier to the justice that we demand? It's a very uncomfortable question. And I want to go quickly. This is actually a report I did, clip 15 here, as we talk about the lifeblood that's stolen from you in the form of taxes every year. Still don't think people realize just how ubiquitous tax collection truly is and just how much you are paying in taxes, regardless of your income level. So I want to go to this video I filmed, I think, last year. It was a report my dad put together using ChatGPT about how much, trying to get some sort of grasp on exactly how much we are paying in taxes on a daily basis. Let's go to clip number 15 here. My dad took to ChatGPT to try to ask it, what is the total summary of the percentage tax burden on full-time working Americans? Real world impact, how much of your money actually goes to taxes? Federal income tax on average is around 15%. Social Security and Medicare, employees contribute 6.2% of their wages, 1.5% to Medicare, totaling 7.65%. You've got income taxes, you've got sale taxes, you've got property taxes. In 2022, the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development reported that the overall tax burden on a single worker in the U.S. with pre-tax income of $70,000 was around $21,000, amounting to 30% tax, so 30% of your money. So if you work for an entire year, that means you're working from January 1st until, you know, the end of March, basically, for somebody else. And then you get to work for yourself. You're working for the tax man for 3 months out of the year. Well, 4 months. Well, 30%, a third of the year, 4 months, sorry. So the end of April. When analyzing the tax burden on American workers, it's essential not just to consider direct taxes, but hidden taxes embedded throughout the supply chain. So the direct taxes on income can get up to 30 or 40%, but then the embedded taxes in the goods and services that you pay for, since as we explained with the beer, like everything you pay for is taxed and has been taxed over and over again every step of the way throughout the supply chain. So that could really get up to around 20 to 40%, meaning that the overall tax burden on your income, the money that you make and spend, is likely up around 60%. Okay, so the total estimated tax at the end, so you've got sales tax at the final purchase, you've got all of the taxes, because remember, it's like property tax and then payroll taxes, excise taxes, regulatory fees, tariffs, import duties. All of these things are factored into the price you're already paying for the product. You pay tax on top. I think you get that. And then you have inflation as a hidden tax that accelerates everything even higher. But even leaving that to the side, here are the components. Direct taxes on income, 30 to 40%. Taxes embedded in goods and services, 20 to 40%. Sales tax on final purchases, 0 to 10%. And then the inflation impact is variable and often underestimated. Final estimate. When considering all taxes and inflation, the real world tax burden on an average full-time American worker can range from 50 to 70% of gross income. Just know, when we're talking about these hundreds of billions of dollars being handed out to God knows who to do God knows what with, we're talking about at least half of your money going towards funding that. At least half of your money, likely more like three-fourths of your money or 70% of your income is stolen directly from you by the government, who is, through a few series of, you know, a couple degrees of separation, holding a gun to your head to get it. Yeah, you don't have a choice to pay taxes. They'll throw you in a concrete box if you don't. So they're robbing you for half of the money you make, at least. And that's the average American. That's not the higher end that pay the big chunk of taxes. That is a $70,000 income level is paying 50 to 70% of their money in taxes when it's all added up. You wonder why we're so broke. And so, again, if you don't understand what I was saying there, the way my dad always illustrates it is we'll be sitting at a bar or something and he'll be like, how many taxes have gone into this beer? You think like, well, 8%, right? 8% sales tax, maybe alcohol is a little higher in your county, whatever it is, 10%. So you think you're paying a 10% tax on that beer. But you know, the bottle was taxed when the distribution company bought the bottle to fill it with the beer. You know, the grains were taxed. You know, the seeds for the grains were taxed. You know, the truck that brought the beer was taxed. You know, that the shipping, you know, is taxed. You know, that the guy who's serving your beer, his wages are taxed. And all of that is embedded in the price of the beer, because the price of the beer has to pay for all of that down the line. So when you're drinking that beer, 70% of that price of that beer is taxes, whether on the institution that you're buying it from or somewhere along the supply chain. When you actually calculate it up, the actual taxes that we're paying are embedded in the cost of our everyday life. And then, of course, you have inflation, which decreases the value of your money anyway and makes that much worse. Oh, do we have this video? Yeah, let's bring that in. I had that a few days ago. We can do that same thing. But while we're talking about taxes, while we bring that in, let me know when we have that video ready. From Sovereign Bra, this is the breakdown by ethnicity. American taxpayer dollars by ethnicity. White people are 58% of the population, paying 75 to 85% total IRS revenue. Yeah, there's the Somalis drinking down our tax dollars. Asians are 6% of the U.S. population, pay 8 to 12% of total IRS revenue. Hispanics, 19% of the U.S. population, paying 5 to 6% of total IRS revenue. Blacks are 13% of the U.S. population. They pay about 4 to 7% of total IRS revenue. The other are 4% of the population, and they pay about 4% of the revenue. So again, when you're talking about American taxpayers being robbed, you're talking about American white taxpayers being robbed, and Asians. Let's go to this clip. Again, this is another breakdown of just how much is being robbed from you for people who hate you. Let's watch.
Hear me out. You work for an entire year. You pay 24% federal tax, 5% state tax. That's 29% tax already. 29% of the year is 106 days. You're literally working 106 days for free before you even make a dollar for your family. That's about how many days politicians actually work. Go to work, taxed. Save your money, taxed. 401k, taxed. Pension, taxed. Buy a car, taxed. Drive that car, taxed. Put gas in that car, extra taxed. Buy a home, taxed. Want to sell a home, taxed. You want to eat some food, taxed. Want a little drinky drink, taxed. Want to go fishing, taxed. Want to go shopping, taxed. Invest, taxed. Inherit, taxed. Die, you guessed it, taxed. And for what? To fund illegal migrants, foreign wars, and families scamming the system? Please! It seems we're in the land of the taxed and the home of the freeloaders. I think it might be time to spill some tea or something again.
Melissa Marie. Again, that's just taxes on the, that's just direct taxes from your paycheck. All right? Not including all of the embedded taxes in the price of literally everything you pay for. You know what's not taxed? Remittances. $5.5 million a day is being sent in remittances to Somalia from America. $5.5 million a day is being sent. We're not taxing that. So, okay. Reports indicate that by the second quarter of 2024, Somalia had already seen approximately $1.57 billion total inflows. Other sources estimate an annual total of $1.3 billion to $2 billion. Gee, maybe that should be something that we should tax like 90%. How about that? Don't look at me like that. It's a good idea. It's actually a good idea. From Nick Sortor, breaking, over 40 daycare centers in Columbus, Ohio opened up using the same defunct Somali shell company on the same day and collected $14 million in subsidies in 2024 alone. Do you feel like an idiot yet? Going to work, you sucker. And, you know, the numbers are so huge. The fraud is so giant. It's so blatant. It's so obvious. It cannot be done without the active participation of the authorities. You just can't. Like, it's not that easy. If you go try it yourself, go start 14 businesses on the same day, file 14 LLCs all under the same umbrella corporation, and then apply for 14 different grants when you don't even have a company to point to. See if you get $1 million. Like, this is, it's deliberate. It's on purpose. It's with the permission of the authorities. But the thing to really, like, understand about this, y'all seen the video. There's a video going around. I'll put another video in here. And it's just all the Somali people. It might be aliens, folks. We might be dealing with a interplanetary invasion here. But if you have a small kid, you know a lot of your decisions about your entire life revolve around childcare. If you can afford daycare, if you can't afford daycare, if you have to work, like, what is the payoff? What is the exchange? Okay, I can make this much by working, but then I have to pay this much in daycare. Can I get into a good preschool? I mean, I explained it before. In preschool, it's, hell, it's a good business to be in, even if you're not scamming billions of dollars from the government. When we were looking for a place for our son, for our first kid, we were talking to people in Houston. They paid $500 to be on a waiting list that had 500 people on it. So this preschool in Houston is making $250,000 a year just on the wait list because people are so desperate to find it. So my point is that all of this money, all of these funds that have gone towards childcare, what if they actually had? What if instead of importing 1 million retarded Somalians and letting them send the money to their pirate friends overseas, what if we kept them out, kept the money to ourselves? How many lives? And so you just think about just the singular instance of a family having to make a decision about what's best for their kid and maybe having to prioritize making money rather than the education of their kid, having to prioritize paying the bills so the mom has to go to work so she can't stay home with her kid like she would like to, or they have to send the kid to a less than amazing daycare or preschool. You know, yeah, it's probably not going to be the deciding factor in the kid's life, but it's certainly a barrier. It's certainly an obstacle. It's certainly not a benefit to them to have these burdens on them. Now imagine just one of these instances, one of these, you know, daily decisions that are made by families multiplied 1 billion times over, 1,000 times a day. The damage that's been done to the American people through this is incalculable. It's unimaginable. Just the overall, you know, collected, combined disadvantage that America's been operating under. And again, you know, maybe kid having to go to this daycare and not the Montessori place, his life's probably going to be a little bit, you know, a little bit worse. But when 1 million kids are prevented from achieving their, you know, academic potential, when 10 million kids are made, you know, that less confident because they have to go to a preschool where they're being beaten up because there's not enough teachers and the kids are bullying them. Like, you just can't imagine the number of problems that are created from this. Wealth that should be in our hands to serve our people, to benefit our children, to build up our country, is being stolen, and it's just 10,000 cuts. Each little cut might not be all that devastating. Day over day, week over week, year over year, we're bleeding out. We're bleeding out. So we have to take extreme measures to correct this. One thing that is sort of picking up steam, and I kind of want to jump on this because it requires mass participation, would be a tax holiday, a tax protest, people refusing to pay their taxes. Now, how this would actually work, I don't know, because our taxes are taken from us already, and when we file our taxes, we're actually filing for a return because they always take more than they know they need from the average person. And then force us to demand our money back. They're essentially forcing us to give them an interest-free loan. It's all so unbelievably corrupt at every freaking level. So I don't know how you do a tax protest. It's not like most people are writing a check to the IRS that you can refuse to send. But I like the idea. But I like the concept. Let's go to this video. Do not pay taxes. Let's watch.
Gotta go to work today, making my coffee. Meanwhile, Somalians are stealing $8 billion from the government. Meanwhile, the Pentagon just lost $2.5 trillion, and oh, I have no idea where it went. Ilhan Omar's had a Congress seat after committing marriage fraud and immigration fraud, tax fraud, money laundering, sending money to terrorist organizations in Somalia. And she's living high on the hog, chilling. $40 million net worth with $174,000 salary. Isn't that a great American citizens? And what is our president doing about it? Complaining about her ass on Twitter. Instead of raiding her house and freezing her bank accounts or deporting her. Signing a executive order to get these people cooked. Nah, what's his useless ass doing? Bragging about how great it is to live for the middle class. No, it's not, nigga. I'm still poor. My life hasn't changed at all. What do you mean? The economy's doing amazing. America's more respected than ever. You're gaslighting us. America's more respected than ever? Oh, really? When you have a bunch of third world retards that are going to Minnesota just to steal from the government? Oh, but the country's respected? I don't respect you right now. I don't. Why has Tim Walz not been arrested already? Why? Why has he not been detained? Why have you not even made a statement about this? You're not stupid, Trump. You're not. You're not stupid, J.D. Vance. Why has it been crickets for the last 2 days on Twitter? You ain't got nothing to say now. Now the people are demanding action. You don't have nothing to say now. So yeah, good morning, America. Good morning. I hope you have a great Monday. Go to work. Go be a slave. Go get stolen from. Go fund terrorism. Go fund illegal aliens to go live off of your back. Have a great time today. Have an amazing Monday being a slave in your own country, actively getting replaced, and our elected officials are doing absolutely nothing about it. Isn't that great? Isn't that just amazing? I'm so happy. Stop paying taxes. Never pay taxes again. Go tax exempt on all of your forms. If you're an independent contractor, don't even bother. Don't even bother with it. What are they gonna do? They can't even find $2.5 trillion from the Pentagon. Oh, it's almost like they're all stealing it. Maybe that's what it is. Stop paying taxes. F the government. They're not going to save us, and we're not going to vote our way out of this one. We have to rebel in a big way. In a big way. Look at Mexico. Look at Nepal. That's all I'm going to say.
So what do we think? Should we all stop paying taxes? Hashtag no tax. 26. Is that the solution? Should we do it? I know Alex is talking about doing a big protest at the White House, make some demands on Trump, fire Pam Bondi, fire Todd Blanche, arrest deep state criminals. Would a protest be effective? I'll leave it there, but I mean, we do have to decide what's next. We do have to try to decide what's next. I'll take your phone calls on that. I want to go to another great rant first. Again, people are getting fed up with this. They're getting pissed at this for a very good reason. Let's watch.
I want to talk about how the average American is starting to feel as major corruption is being exposed, especially now with the case in Minnesota and the daycare fraud. This is not just about money being stolen anymore. It's about a growing feeling that being a good citizen, being a hardworking person, paying your taxes may not be worth it. People are starting to feel stupid. They think, well, I'm here, I'm playing by the rules, I am working hard, I'm providing for my family, I'm doing the hard work, and I'm the idiot. You see the memes online, and we laugh, you know, like, oh, me on my way to work, thinking that I should have just opened a daycare center in Minnesota and made millions. And again, it is funny, but it's also deeply sad. Because the next thing is, why am I even doing this? And that's the part that no one wants to talk about, because this kind of feeling shapes culture. I come from Brazil, as you know, and in Brazil we have this thing we call the Brazilian way, which is the idea that there's always a shortcut, there's always a loophole, a way to take advantage of a situation. And people think it comes out of nowhere. Oh, it's just the Brazilian way of living. No, this comes from years of Brazilian people being robbed and nothing being done with the thieves. So we now think that survival means cheating the system before it cheats you. Eventually, people stop believing that being honest is rewarded. When a society teaches its citizens that being honest makes you a loser, well, that's really dangerous. You don't just lose money. You lose trust. You lose dignity. You lose the culture that holds it all together. And once that's gone, it's really hard to get back.
So that was from TikTok user Common Sense Dose, reflecting what I've been saying for years. Like, this is the heart of the issue, is making good, decent people feel like suckers, idiots, fools. Why would you ever do the right thing? Why would you ever do what you're supposed to do when you are punished for it? And what do you think it took to create a country that's not like that? She talks about the Brazilian way. You know what the Brazilian way is? It's the South American way. It's the Central American way. It's the African way. It's the Eastern European way. It's the Asian way. It's the Indian way. That's how the world is at its base. That's how the world is if you don't spend 1,000 years, good men, systematically killing all of the bad men. If you don't spend 1,000 years creating the system to uphold decency, to uphold honor and virtue, then you don't have it. Then everybody is scamming everybody. Everybody is trying to get one over on everybody. Everybody is trying to screw everybody else over. That is the natural and normal state of the world. We are the exceptional state. America is the exception. And we only have this because of the generation upon generation upon generation of our ancestors building this up deliberately. When we lose it, we don't get it back. We start over 1,000 years ago. They're not just destroying this country. They are destroying the world. They are destroying civilization itself, and is not going to be easily reclaimed. But we haven't lost it yet. We can still stop it.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 3 posters I designed. 2 I designed. Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, same Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's an InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, get a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before their hatch. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Thank you.
back, folks. As we close out the year 2025, which unfortunately I believe will go down as one of the most decisive and horrible years in American history, to be honest with you. One of the reasons it's been so bad is because of the people that we've lost. And in a tradition here at InfoWars, Darren McBreen has put together a very moving compilation of the people that we've lost in 2025. I think it's important to put this in perspective and take a look at some of the people that are no longer with us to greet 2026. Here is that compilation by the great Darren McBreen.
Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Ain't no word in Sioux for goodbye.
Keep smiling through.
I'm your huckleberry.
Just like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away.
Oh, I must be in the front row.
And will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them that I won't be long. And they'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Yeah, we'll meet again. I don't know where, and I don't know when. But I do know that we'll meet again some sunny day. So honey, keep on smiling through, just like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. And would you please say hello,
hello
to all the folks that I know and tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again.
In memory of Jamie White. What a crappy year. Jesus Christ. Can we do better next year? Can we all agree? Do a hell of a lot better next year. At least there's been a lot of awakening this year. At least this year has exposed a lot of the rot from the inside. Folks, I hope you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Not a lot of people think we thought we would have been around to ring in 2026. We proved them wrong and we'll prove them wrong over and over like we have for the last several decades. We've got many more decades ahead of us as long as you go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. We'll be back on the other side to open up the phone lines, but make sure to get your orders in now so you can meet those New Year's resolutions, improve yourself, and make 2026. Destroy 2025. We're done with 2025. It's over. We're moving on. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, welcome back, folks. Final hour of the War Room is on, although you're going to want to tune back in at 9 p.m. tonight as we kick off our New Year's Eve coverage. Lots of guests, big celebration. So make sure you're tuning in for that here on InfoWars. Follow us on X. I'm at Harrison H. Smith, at Real Alex Jones, at AJ in Live. Just make sure you're following all of us, and we'll be going live starting around 9 p.m. It'll go till at least midnight, probably till 1 and maybe beyond. And it should be a good time, so make sure you're tuning in for that. I want to go to some phone calls, and I want to go to some videos. Let me open up the phone lines for your calls now. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. 789-2539. Give us a call. I'll let you host the show. I'll let my voice rest a little bit so I can actually be entertaining tonight for our New Year's coverage. But I do want to hear what you have to say about all the stories that we've covered today and anything else that's on your mind. I still do have a lot of stories to get to and a lot of things to cover. All of it is just as absurd as everything else. You have things like this. In response to the massive daycare fraud being exposed by independent journalists using state websites, Washington State Senator Lisa Wellman has pre-filed legislation to hide information about daycares and their operators from the public. So yes, in response to the revelation that these daycares are being exploited to rob billions of dollars in fraud, the Democrats are making it illegal to investigate. Great. I thought this was a very good post from Christian Hines, I think is how you pronounce that. Three iron laws of the Democratic Party. One, the worse off a group of people act, the more praise Democrats lavish upon them. Two, the amount of sympathy Democrats offer to an individual is inversely related to how close they are to being a member of the founding stock of Western civilization. Three, the goal of the Democratic Party is to loot from the group in point two and give it to the group in point one. Yes, yes, yes. When you look at who the Democrats are, who they claim to represent, who they claim to champion, there is one iron rule. Anybody incapable of making white babies is their ally. White, straight people are the enemy. Everybody else is the ally. Gay white people, no babies, great, you're in. Like, when you understand that really is what it goes to, it really does get down to that simple, is white people versus everybody else. It's not all that complicated. None of this is all that complicated. Again, I wish it wasn't this way. I don't want to be fighting anybody. I don't want to be a part of a race at war with the other races. It'd be nice if we'd all get together, but it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that, can't be that way. I want to go to a few more videos here. I want to go to this one. This unbelievable clip drops the red pill nuke on the level of fraud, again, that we are experiencing from every different level. Sargon Uta Bayar? I can't remember her name. That's a good video. Let's watch.
This scandal is totally appalling, but it is also unsurprising. And that's because it's a microcosm of what ails the Democratic elites. That's our Why It Matters segment for the night. The latest revelations join others in which suspected Somali fraudsters stole more than $9 billion in federal funds from 14 state-run agencies dating back to 2018. Somali Americans make up 89% of the defendants charged. The absolute scale of the fraud just beggars belief. Where were the spot checks? Where were the officials? It seems totally impossible that the Democratic leadership was not somehow in on this. Just think about how outrageous this is. You are wondering whether you can afford to have another child because childcare is so expensive. Meanwhile, a group of Somalis in Minnesota got $110 million for childcare centers that don't exist. You can't afford to buy a home, but 100 Somalis spent millions on luxury properties, millions of your taxpayer dollars. You're paying $30,000 a year for terrible health care, and they got millions for health care centers that they never opened for patients that they never serviced. But the fraud is a microcosm of an illness that plagues our political elites, especially on the left. More broadly, everybody comes before you. For decades, the Democrats have pushed for mass migration, both legal and illegal, which drove down the wages of working class Americans while making competition for housing, healthcare, and an education, the hallmarks of the American dream, even fiercer. And if you objected, if you had the audacity to ask why your children were being disinherited in your country, the Democratic elites called you racist. Leftist American elites developed an entire woke vocabulary as a smokescreen to mask the mass pillaging of the American working class. They smeared hardworking people who work 10 times harder than they do, by the way, and make a fraction as much. When those working class Americans objected to having their jobs sent overseas and those jobs that remained here degraded by a glut of cheap labor. Millionaires on cable news called you racist if you said, wait a minute, why don't my kids matter? That's why people are so angry about the Somali fraud case. It is the epitome of the fraud perpetrated on the American people through the collusion of the Democratic Party, the liberal media, and people willing to take advantage of the immense generosity of the American people and then spit in our faces.
Well, she ain't wrong. She's not wrong. But don't worry, folks. You know, our government is bombing Iran. Okay, so we're going to go to war with Iran. It's fine. Don't worry about all this other stuff. Iran ballistic missiles are now the concern. We'll take them out. Don't worry. We're fine. And that's one of the things. It's like, a lot of times if you criticize Trump, it's like, well, he's dealing with all this. I mean, he's dealing with like war in Ukraine and like all this other stuff. It's like, you know, he's trying to stop World War III. He's trying to save the world here. Okay. That's the most important thing. Nothing else matters if we all die in a nuclear holocaust. And that is true to a certain degree, but how are all those things going? How's the Ukraine war going? Russia is apparently ramping everything up. Pentagon announces $8.6 billion Boeing contract for F-15 jets for Israel. Amazing. Thank you for that. It's just, you know, it's like, well, so what are we doing here? So, okay, you know, I'm focusing on taking care of all this stuff around the world. You know, we're trying to deal with the Ukraine war. That's the most important thing. Well, what's going on there? Putin orders expansion of Ukraine war in 2026 and new blow to Trump's peace talks. As the future of the Russia-Ukraine war hangs in the balance of a precarious peace deal, it's business as usual for Vladimir Putin. The Russian president ordered the expansion of a buffer zone along the U.S., along the Russia-Ukraine border in 2026, Moscow's top general said today. The Kremlin has long said that the zone in Ukraine's Sumy and Kharkiv was to protect Russian civilians from the border from the enemy raids. Okay, so Ukraine war is not only not stopped, it's basically expanded and gotten worse. Wonderful. We did yesterday see Trump meeting with Netanyahu and saying that we would go to war with Iran over their ballistic missiles, a, you know, new advancement against the promises that he made. We apparently are days away from launching a new war in Venezuela. So it's like, that's not really an excuse anymore. and sort of never was, but we're being destroyed domestically and everything overseas is going to crap. So what are we doing here? And as we watched, you know, like one of those other videos, we're like, why has Tim Walz not been arrested? Well, fear not. He has been called to testify, so watch out, okay? Congressional Republicans call on Minnesota's Tim Walz to testify. A House committee on Wednesday called Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Attorney General Keith Ellison to testify on a fraud scandal that's roiled the state. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt suggested fraud investigations could spread to California and New York. They called on Governor Walz to testify amid an ongoing social services fraud scandal. I'm sure he'll certainly comply with that, right? Of course he will. So, okay. So, not being arrested, not being investigated, being asked to come testify, to come lie about what's going on, to come call anybody looking into what's going on a white supremacist like he did with Nick Shirley. Okay. Great. I'm sure he'll learn his lesson. Let's go to your phone calls now. I've got Joshua in Pennsylvania, who's called in with comments on General Flynn. Go ahead, Joshua. You're on the air.
Hey. Hey, Harrison. Hey, I just wanted to say that, like, it's nice that he put out that call to action, but honestly, it's just words, sweet nothings, honestly. Like, we have the right to change the government by force. When are boots going to start kicking doors? And as a white American, I'm really tired of being abused and being told how bad I am by these people, honestly, demons, in my opinion, that masquerade as holier than thou, and they're better than the rest of us. I'm just tired of it, Harrison. Like, it's just all words, man. There's no arrest. And honestly, if nothing happens from any of this stuff, fraud, the supposed insurrection, or anything, then honestly, that should be the starting of the next 1776 or whatever you want to call it, revolution. But that's all I gotta say.
I agree. I mean, I'm right there with you. It's unacceptable. And I've been saying since before Trump got into office, I was like, okay, how long are we going to wait? You know, at what point are we going to get to? And, you know, I was talking about like April, you know, like, okay, he gets inaugurated in January. How long is it going to take to wrap some of this up? I mean, all of the evidence is there. It's been there for a decade. If you're talking about Russia collusion, if you're talking about opening the border, like it's not even an investigation. I mean, they did it publicly. We know exactly who did it. And it's just like, well, here we are, last day of 2025. Nothing has happened. Nothing has been done. And you're right. We get a lot of words. We get a hell of a lot of words. I don't know. I don't know what the next steps are, but we need to be preparing for that. Thank you for the call, Joshua. I think Evan is maybe has an answer to my question here. Evan in Texas, thanks for calling in.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, man, I just think of, like, it's getting to the point where Trump is just, like, he just, everybody makes excuses for him. I mean, it's about time we just, like, I think we should InfoWars just go back to doing InfoWars stuff that you guys did in 2000. But, I mean, I think we should do the protests at least last Trump. And we can't at least do that. Maybe do the stunts like Alex Jones, where you used to go get arrested. And, like, that was, like, peak InfoWars and awesome. I mean, it gets tension. And if Trump wants to disavow, I guess he can do that. I just don't know what this looseness is, because it's going to get worse.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, it's the bankruptcy that's really stopped us from doing a lot of the live stuff that we used to do, which is very unfortunate because it costs money to travel and, you know, our bank accounts are not, we have to get permission from the court. So it just hasn't been a possibility for the last couple of years. But I think we'll start that up again. I think we'll have to. I think you're right. And I think the idea of Alex leading a march in D.C., then you've got January 6th is this, like, you know, sort of Damocles hanging over people's heads where it's like, and that was part of it, right? Part of the PSYOP was convince right-wingers that going to a protest is dangerous because you might end up in jail for 20 years, even though you never broke a law. So we can't let that stop us from doing it, but we do have to take it into account and be more careful and, you know, explicit about what we're doing, because at the same time that we don't want another January 6th happening, it wouldn't take a January 6th for a leftist or, you know, globalist to come in and hijack the whatever protest we do and attack it or make it seem like we're attacking somebody. So, you know, it's a brave new world that we're in, and we got to be careful as we navigate these waters. But I do think that, you know, protests and getting out in the real world and giving people a place to go, to be boots on the ground in some regard, I think is going to have to be the next step. I think you're right about that. Evan, thanks for the call. Let's go to Duke in Oklahoma. Duke, thanks so much for calling in. You're on the air.
Well, I was listening to all the people that we had lost in the year and everything. And it will, you know, we do this all the time, but whenever it showed Jamie White, that kind of teared me up quite a bit. You know, he meant a lot to a lot of the people at InfoWars, a lot of the people that listen to InfoWars. And it had a lot of meaning to me because, you know, it just seems like we never get anything done that needs to be done in this country. You know, there's so many things that Trump needs to be doing that we know he needs to be doing for us, but we've lost the voice when it comes to, you know, him and his supporters of the things that we want him to do. It's like we can't get anything really done, and it's disconcerting. It's, you know, it really, we're very upset. Americans, true Americans, are really, really upset about the situation we're in and how come things are not getting accomplished the way they should, you know. And sometimes I listen to Alex and even General Flynn, and I'm like, yeah, they're saying the things that need to be said, but nothing's getting done. Yeah. And that's what worries me, because, you know, we're going to get to a point where we're not going to back off at all. And then there's not going to be any stopping us. Maybe that's what needs to happen. I don't know. But, you know, we're suffering. Americans are suffering. And it's worse than we're recognizing. And nothing's being done. And that's what really just pisses me off.
So what can we do about it? What do you think the next steps are? Do you think a tax protest is the right way to go? That seems to be picking up steam around now.
You see what they do in the protest. They've got that figured out. You know, there's, you know, we can protest all we want. They can always, you know, insert something into the protest and turn it on us. They've turned everything against us. Look at January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe Biggs, he should have been pardoned right off the bat. Why wouldn't you pardon Joe Biggs? I mean, come on, Trump, what in the heck's going on? We don't have his ear anymore. You know, everybody's got his number, but nobody can call him like a friend and have a conversation with him and tell him, hey, look, buddy, you know, the time is now. The time is going by, and here we are in a new year. Nothing's been done. You know, nobody's been arrested. Come on, what in the world is that all about? How can you not arrest these people? You arrest a citizen for driving without insurance or without a driver's license or, you know, a warrant for something that's not even that big or something like that. But you can't arrest people that are stealing millions and millions of dollars. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? You tell me. What are we doing here? We're not doing anything. We're getting clobbered.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the weirdest thing about it is that, like, you look at like J.D. Vance or even like Trump's kids, like Trump, you know, Donald Jr. or Eric Trump or J.D. Vance or any of them, they're tweeting out like, oh, my God, this is totally unacceptable. We have to do something. And under it, every comment is like, then do something. You're in power. So it's like, I don't even believe that Trump doesn't know this stuff. You can't stop his son from contacting him. Like, you know, like Don Jr. knows what's going on because he tweets about it. You know, J.D. Vance knows what's going on. You expect Trump not to talk to them, not to like speak to them. So I got no explanation for you. I got no excuses to make. He's failing. He's failing completely. And like, you know, we reiterated from the video we showed earlier, he's going to go down as the man who could have saved the Republic and chose not to. Chose not to. The unfortunate thing about it is not just the slow death of America. It's the fact that we're going to literally be hunted over this. And I don't want to be like a doomsayer, like Blackpiller. Like, they are making lists. We're talking about real revolution here. It's either going to be from us or against us at the end of the day. I've studied the Bolshevik Revolution. I've studied the German Revolution of 1918. I've studied the way this happens. Study the French Revolution. There's no guarantee against devolving into something like that. I mean, how many times in history has an incredibly powerful, sophisticated, developed state still devolved into mass murder? Revolutionary France was the height of sophistication at that point. It was the height of academia and power in the monarchy. It ended up with the Reign of Terror. You say the same thing about Germany and the Nazis. Most sophisticated, intelligent, enlightened, scientific community ever. Awash with blood, right? So if you think America can't fall into this, or that what we're talking about here is some sort of, you know, economic downturn, no, I'm talking about what do you do when people start disappearing? We're going to have to start answering that question, because you know these Democrats are actually that crazy. So what do you do? What are you going to do? Again, folks, make sure you're tuned in tonight at 9 p.m. We will be going live for the midnight New Year's special. So make sure to tune in and share the links for that. Let's go to Danny in Virginia now. He's got a dad joke for us. Go ahead, Danny. You're on the air.
Okay. Real quick, I want to talk about how your suit looks. Looks really good.
Thank you.
What's the seventh letter in the alphabet?
G.
Yeah, I said the, didn't I?
What?
Damn, I blew that dad joke so bad. But anyway.
wait. Try again.
Okay.
What is the dad joke?
Okay. What's the seventh letter in alphabet?
G.
No.
It's not?
See, you got me to read it a second time.
What's the joke?
What's the seventh letter in alphabet?
Oh, the word alphabet?
Oh, now you got it.
That's not a joke. That's a riddle. You said a joke, and you came with a riddle. You lied to me, Danny.
I just wanted you to smile before you get off the air. You had such a bad day, dude. I just thought it'd be funny.
I appreciate that. I don't feel like I've had a bad day.
And you need to also end every day with a smile.
I agree with that. Luckily I do. Lucky for me, I don't take any of this stuff personally or any of it too seriously. So it's all good, man. I'll be ending the year with a smile tonight during our Alex Jones Show New Year's special broadcast. So I hope you join us for that. We'll be back on the other side for our final segment of the War Room on this December 31st broadcast. More of your calls, more videos, more stories on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get Ultra Methylene Red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Well, I'm the weekend guy. So I do everything that all the other writers do just on the weekends.
Oh.
And so I have to do newsletters. I got to put up the reports. I got to write the articles. I got to do the blurbs.
Ooh.
And interface with Jones to make sure he has what he wants. And, you know.
This is the thing about news. It's every hour, every minute of the day kind of thing. So
it never ends.
Yeah.
Vivian Kubrick, daughter of visionary Stanley Kubrick, captured a stunning piece of raw truth on film in December of 2022. Alongside the fearless Jamie White, that footage, unfiltered and unapologetic, reveals the humanity of a voice for liberty gone too soon.
This is the back end. This is where all the magic happens.
That looks like email.
Yeah. Oh. Just different posts.
Oh.
You got Paul's, you got mine's.
Oh, and then you all check each other's stuff, and then who gets editorship? Senior editor of the site.
Well,
We're
still kind of working on that, but on the weekends, you know, it all falls on me. So I'm the editor, I'm the writer, I'm the webmaster, do all that stuff.
So. You know, that's a lot. For just a few guys to be
amazing.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, no, it's seriously.
Yeah, it is, it is.
I mean, one's so used to thinking that things are all kind of digital and electronic, but the old newspaper man thing is still happening.
Yeah, it's just now we're not using ink. It's all just digital now.
Jamie White. Gunned down, a bullet tore through his carotid artery, silencing a voice they couldn't control.
His friends here were more like his family because he didn't have anybody else here.
White was a writer for InfoWars in Austin.
He definitely liked to stand for truth, and he spoke up for what he believed in.
Sunday night, Aaron says White stayed late at work.
Literally right when he got home, all that happened.
It was a little before midnight. White was home at the Chandelier Apartments off Douglas Street. Austin police say people were possibly burglarizing White's vehicle. White interrupted them, and they shot and killed him in the parking lot.
Crazy that he's gone just like that.
The suspects ran off.
You know, I'm still so amazed that people don't know that Obama passed that law, signed that law in December 2012, and then kind of fell into...
The propaganda thing?
Yeah, where it says
the propaganda doctrine?
Yeah, so...
Where government can lie to you legally?
Yeah, it's like, please!
Yeah.
That should be like front page, that should be a front page banner every day.
That was I remember when that happened. That was a really big deal to me.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't super secret. Like, it was covered by the mainstream media.
Yeah.
But they were covering it like it was, like, yeah, like, this is great, you know? Like, you know, they're saying it'll do the opposite of what it does, you know? Oh, this will crack down on propaganda. It's like, but you just made propaganda
illegal. No.
But that's how they're so successful, in part, because that kind of gaslighting is just so... Like, a normal person, just who is, like, apolitical or doesn't follow this stuff, like, they're just so assaulted with the inverted, you know, version of what they're saying that they just, like, come to believe it, you know? Because surely they wouldn't lie to such a degree that it's, like, the polar opposite, you know? Most people don't, like, think that way, you know? So.
And InfoWars, it's been a relentless siege. Attacks raining down from all sides. A coordinated assault to choke out the last mutterings of free thought. Yet here we stand, battered but unbroken, staring down the barrel of tyranny.
Come out of the house with your hands up. Do it now. Do it slow.
Imagine how much crime was going on in downtown Austin. Rape, robberies. I mean, it's just... But no, all the cops are busy swatting Chase Geyser.
Yeah. So the first time there was a call that was a claim that something had happened to my house. The second time there was a call, the person just... acted like they were me. Now, the first time it was just a text. This time it was a real person.
I've had some high-level folks in Army Special Operations call me 2 days ago saying that they're getting major intel that there are hit teams out with a high priority to kill me and others. Then I got a call last night about 7 o'clock from an extremely respected journalist. They don't want their name used at this point. Just leave it at that, who got a call from a very trusted source in high-level intelligence that said they've never seen the 3 hits in the NSA system with anybody but President Trump or his family at this level. So this is the highest level.
You know, we're at the last stages of this sort of currency collapse. You know, with this money printing and the inflation, it all kind of has an end game. And these people in power know that the end is coming. So the only way to really get out of something like that is, like a global war. Gets everyone's attention away from how did the system collapse.
The truth is a wildfire they can't extinguish. And every fallen warrior, like Jamie, fuels its spread. The New World Order may claw at our heels, but the awakened are rising. And their house of cards is trembling. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Probably the worst part of 2025 for us. Losing Jamie White. We'll go out to your phone calls again. I wanted to play that memorial that John Bound put together with help from the footage from Vivian Kubrick. We are going to go out to your calls. I did just see this post from L at some B I know on X. From 2023 to January 2025, the Biden DOJ added a fourth category of refugee that allowed for, quote, private sponsors of immigrants. No need to go through a resettlement service. You'll never guess which state was number one in participation. And it was, of course, Minnesota. They lead the nation in the new effort to welcome refugees through this private sponsor group. And, of course, Anthony Blinken was in on this. She says it's going to become a massive scandal. Sponsor groups welcome refugee newcomers by securing and preparing initial housing, greeting refugee newcomers at the airport, enrolling children in school, and helping adults to find employment. And so I think we're going to find that, yeah, the whole thing was a scam from the top to the bottom. And the Democrats not only knew this was going on, they specifically wrote legislation to facilitate the scamming and the fraud. With that, we got to your phone calls. Alex in Virginia has called in about the Minnesota system. Go ahead, Alex. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison.
Howdy.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friend.
Listen, you're feeling really down, and you sound really down, and I get it. It's been a rough year, but on the good side of things, you are my number one squid jigger, and I hope everybody understands.
Wait, what did you call me?
You're my number one squid jigger.
Is that an A at the end or an ER at the end? All right, I'll take it. I'm a squid jigger. Okay.
Yeah, it refers back to the summer episode that you had done with about them draining out the oceans or whatever, the squid jigging.
Oh, I got you. Okay, yeah, the Chinese, yeah. Yes.
Right. But look, I'm glad I put a smile on your face.
That's
now
funny.
Look, the whole Minnesota thing is disgusting and it's blowing up. I am wondering what's going out here in Virginia. So I'm gonna do a little bit of digging over here to see if that's the same thing that's happening here, because there's a lot of extra people.
Good.
Now, on the other side, I just want you to understand there are two stories that have been forgotten about this year. Number one, whatever happened to the story on the tunnels under the synagogues? Remember, there were several. It started out in Brooklyn, but then there were several that broke out in New York, that there was tunnels underneath those synagogues.
Was that
the
this
bloody
year?
Mattress. Yes, it was, sir.
Was it really? I feel like that was like 3 years ago. Was that this year?
There's no way it was 3 years ago, but
I know.
What
I don't know, man. I mean, so much stuff happens.
They swept it so far under the rug. You thought it was 3 years ago.
Wait a second. I think I'm right. January 8th, 2024.
2024?
Your time is collapsing, man. That was 2024. Because I was thinking, why I know that? Is because I was putting together a compilation that I'm still working on, so it's probably too late now, but about 2025, and I was like, oh, I got to have the tunnels in there. And I looked it up, and because I did the same thing, I thought it was this year too, so that's why I know that it wasn't this year. So, yeah, that's how heavily that one got buried.
Rob Dew got me with the math one, and now you got me with this one. This is not good.
That's okay. All right. Well, what was the other story you were going to say?
Oh, let's remember the greatest conspiracy of all time that nobody's even talking about. And I'm kind of upset about it. It is the Jeffrey Epstein deal that he didn't die. Remember, I told you a while ago, once we found out that Ghislaine Maxwell had her submarine license and all that and her company, and I mapped it out. Nobody's talking about it, and I'm kind of disgusted about this. What's going on, Harrison?
That's a good question. I can tell you what's going on now is they've just found $2.5 million new documents that they're having to go through. So, yeah, you know, it's just added to the list, added to the pile, added to the, the list of unachieved justice, right? People getting away with stuff. We finally got the Epstein documents and they're all blacked out and nothing's been done about it. So yeah, I mean, that might be the story of the year because it's gone on all year because it sort of, to me, encapsulates everything about this year, the disappointment and the bizarre turnaround from Donald Trump,
about the whole thing, the lack of action from the Republicans, the way that they seemingly have turned against their own agenda and against their own supporters on this, the tie-ins with Israel, obviously, like, yeah, the Epstein, this was the year of Epstein. 2025 was the year of Jeffrey Epstein, of being slapped across the face by our own government, lying to us endlessly, and only pretending to give us what we want when forced to, and blacking everything out anyway. I mean, that is the icon of 2025. Thank you so much for the call, Alex. As always, I greatly appreciate it. And you did put a smile on my face, calling me a squid jigger. let's go to Hammer. And I'm not in a bad mood. I just lost my voice. I'm just talking quietly because I lost my voice. I'm not in a bad mood. It's New Year's Eve. I'm having a hell of a time. It makes me bummed when I think about Jamie White. Obviously, I don't like being reminded of that, but I'm happy. I'm happy that we're ending this year once and for all. Let's go to Hammer Hardy in Florida, talking about the MAGA Mafia. Go ahead, Hammer Hardy. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you for taking my call. I want to start off by reminding people of the words of former President JFK. He said that we face an enemy that uses infiltration instead of invasion and uses guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. So we need to stop thinking about resistance. And I've said this before, and I really hope that in 2026 people can keep that in the front of their minds, that we need to stop thinking of resistance in the form of a militia and start thinking more along the lines of a mafia, because that's how our government has become so corrupt. They've used mafia tactics. And I gave you a movie recommendation a few months back. It was an old Sylvester Stallone movie called Fist. And it's very interesting to watch because we can do all the protesting we want. We can do all the picketing. We can do all the boycotting we want. We can try to follow all the rules as possible, but what's going to happen is they're just going to send in a bunch of tough guys to break your ribs. And if you don't have any push, which is something that's which is a concept that's described in the movie, if you don't have any push, you don't ever actually make any real change. And so we can keep doing the same thing over and over again, or we can try something that will actually work, because what we've been doing isn't working, regardless of how good it makes us feel.
I completely agree.
Your thoughts?
I completely agree. I've been saying for a while, white people need gangs. White people are going to need gangs. That's what it's going to come down to. I mean, it's going to come to that by necessity anyway. So, yeah, why not just do it, you know, seize the initiative here and just do it? Because as I've been explaining over and over, like when the rule of law breaks down, you devolve to clans. Like what do you do if, you know, your daughter or your sister is attacked and you know that the judge is going to let the guy off? Do you go to the judge? You go through the process of trying to charge him and get him arrested and just to waste time because he eventually gets let out and justice is unachieved? No. You go to your cousins and you go, hey, I'm pretty sure I know who did this to my daughter. Let's go kill him. And then you go kill him. Like that's how it works when, you know, legal authority breaks down. So, you know, if by necessity the devolution of America results in us having to clan up and, you know, operate for ourselves because the system can't be trusted, or whether we just need to decide to do that on the outset anyway. And again, I'm not calling for vigilante justice or anything. I'm explaining that is the, you know, obvious next step once the lawful authorities break down. So yeah, we need to tribe up. I mean, like I think Nick Fuentes puts it simply and perfectly. We need to take our own sides. Americans need to take your own side. And it's as simple as that. Thanks for the call, Hammer Hardy. We got time for a few more. Let's go to Chad in Minnesota now. Let's talk about free energy. Chad, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. The Jamie White, that unaired video was December 2022. Did I catch that correctly?
Yep.
I think I did.
Yep.
Well, it's interesting. I called about free energy, and I was mainly calling about how, by the way, great topics today. I think you're spot on as to just the temperature of everything that we've dealt with year one. And it's all the big, you know, the FBI is a joke. Trump being that, you know, it's his counsel that surrounds him. We're still, you know, we're in this, I'll go with the neo old adage of fool me 1,000 times, shame on you. Fool me 1,001, shame on me, I guess is where we're at.
Yeah,
and
pretty much.
It's to the point where you just, I mean, and I think, you know, I kind of, you elaborate or you discussed this earlier where, and I think many people have the same thing where, you know, outside of or short of the human miracle where everybody wakes up, or let's just say the majority of everybody truly wakes up, where a good majority of people, you can make a difference. But the reason I called is that December 2022 is a big year for free energy. There's break even out in the Lawrence Liverpool National Laboratory. There were scientists through the National Ignition Facility. They achieved break even with fusion. And that is basically, it's an over unity, in my opinion. They don't call it that, but it's less in, more out.
Mm.
So the December 2022 is also a big year for Nuno Lorero. He took on the director at MIT, who's the MIT director of plasma science and fusion center. So, and that story has kind of just fallen by the wayside. I mean, we have the, you know, and you were talking about with the economy and taxes and everything, and how we just keep the number one thing to keep it simple for everybody is that the more that they hold us up, or the less that we can get to the point where we have the opportunity to pay for whatever we can within our means and what is, you know, not going outside your means. If you're not strapped down by taxes, by interest, by credit cards, by everything that's thrown at you, we could afford that, but that's just the system that captures us. We don't have an opportunity to ever get outside of that. So in over unity, you think about it, everybody that has a chance to do this as much as possible is buy low, sell high, or as least amount in to start and get out as much as you can. And we are trapped and we are captured and we are slaves. Neo-feudalism, I mean, there are things that we are never going to escape. And if Trump doesn't get, you know, the golden age, how do we get to a point where we can say this free, you know, let's get to, you know, we're never going to be where we can go and say, hey,
you know, maybe that's
we're not
it.
Going to the pump.
You know, as sort of blackpilling as everything looks, as everybody's looking around going, all right, voting's not working, what's next? I mean, maybe it's a technological advantage like that, a technological advancement like that, free energy. I mean, if something came out, if there was some company somewhere working quietly on a little miniaturized nuclear reactor, and suddenly they come out and you can pay $5,000 and never pay for energy again because you can power your whole neighborhood off of something the size of a cooler, like, that's revolutionary. That upends everything. So I mean, maybe it's something like that. Maybe that's what we can put our focus into, knowing, as you point out, it would take a miracle, really, to, and we're doing our best. We're trying desperately. I mean, our mission is to wake people up, and we've been incredibly successful, like unimaginably, unpredictably successful in that. But man, to achieve that critical mass of people, I mean, unless somebody, you know, can get us in contact with a hacker who can take over, you know, the Super Bowl broadcast so we can get a message out to a billion people at once, like, you know, short of that, I don't know if we have time to try to, you know, systematically wake everybody else up. So yeah, maybe a technological advance could set us free from the chains of slavery that we're in. So that's very interesting. Thank you for the call, Chad. And I think we're on the cusp of that. I mean, there are companies out there that are producing things like what I just said, and they're getting very, very close to releasing that stuff, and that would change the world forever. I want to go to Get Off the Rope, who's on Earth, line 9. Go ahead, get the rope. I'm sorry, Get the Rope on Earth. Go ahead,
yeah, get the rope.
That's right, the day of the rope approaches.
Yeah, get the rope. There's a lot of strong tree branches.
I think I get what you're saying. I think I get what you're hinting at subtly.
Yeah, we're at the point, right? I mean, what are we doing? That if you or I were to do any of the stuff all these assholes have done, they would have thrown away the key. Like, what are we doing?
Yep.
At a certain point,
great question.
Get the damn rope. I'm sorry, I'm a little fired up.
I'm right there with you. I mean, if Trump actually wanted to save it, like, I don't think Trump is the guy who's going to rely, we're going to have to rely on, but like, a couple of things people have said, including yourself. If Trump actually did want to save this country, what he would do would be he would work behind the scenes with Congress and the Senate to get them to pass a law to create a new law enforcement agency. And we have to start over. CIA, no reclaiming that. FBI, there's no reclaiming that. So you start a new one and you call it the Bureau of Anti-Corruption or whatever, and you empower them with the ability to arrest, with the ability to indict, with the ability to perhaps even run their own court system. And you give them power over, above, and beyond what the FBI or the CIA can do. And there you have it. Now you have men wearing badges with guns, and you can say, go kick down the door of the FBI and haul away their servers. And then that would happen. How do you think the FBI got created? They wrote a law, the FBI creation law, and now the FBI exists, and now it has all the powers it has, and now it can surveil you and arrest you and kick down your door. And that was an act of Congress. So if Trump and the Republicans actually wanted to save us, like, I feel like they find comfort in the idea that it's hopeless. They find, you know, that they can justify their inaction by going, well, everything's so corrupt, we'll just have to play the game and get what's ours while we can. If they actually wanted to save the country, that's what they would do. They would create a Praetorian Guard, essentially. They would create a new office, a new force. They'd put somebody like General Flynn in charge of it. And they'd say, you are now empowered. You have full investigatory capabilities. Your job is to root out corruption wherever you find it in the federal government. Go. And then they would just go. And they would just do it. And they could just root it out, arrest them, haul them away. No legacy system, no shadow controllers pulling the strings, you know, behind the scenes. No decades worth of files hidden, you know, somewhere in the basement. No, burn all that down. Create a new force. Call it whatever you want. Come up with another three-letter acronym and slap a badge on their chest and put them to work. That would save the country. Same thing with the judiciary. Fire the judges, put new judges in, just like Thomas Jefferson did. It would take an effort by the president, get Congress and Senate to go along with it. We can do it while we still have the majority. We have about 9 months if we felt like doing something like that or anything. If we felt like doing anything, felt like doing absolutely anything to save the country. We're rapidly running out of time. That's going to do it for this year. That's our broadcast on the War Room. But tune back in about 3 hours, 9 p.m. Central, for the InfoWars Alex Jones Midnight New Year's Eve broadcast. Starts at 9 p.m. InfoWars.com, band.video. Share those links on X, and we'll see you in a few hours for the big celebration. Happy New Year, everybody.
So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free. So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultramethylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate power drink mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate power drink mix, two great flavors now available at DallasJonesStore.com. High quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. It's a private label, one of the top NAD Plus products in the country. Atomic Defense, incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn, to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra, great for your brain. The Tallow Balm, we never talk about enough. Optimal Human, the ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com, and it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. So we got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.